Voilà.
We're just about to get started. Is everybody ready for the Pledge of Allegiance? Yes. Everybody, please stand. We're going to start out with a celebration and an administration of oath to the volunteer firefighters. Could I please have my assistants?
Good evening. Matt Jenkins, CDF County Fire. Tonight, we're going to be reciting the oath of office to 9 new reserve firefighters for the community of Los Osos. I think this might be the biggest group we've ever done at one time. This is a special occasion for me. Some people know it here, but I started my career in the fire service as a South Bay Reserve firefighter, and I'm afraid it was probably before any of these new ones were born.
Josh Murphy. Jonathan Robles, John Robson, David Sabovich, Hanson Schaefer, Sage Willis. Okay, President Schicker.
Could you all please raise your right hands? And I guess you're going to state your names together. So I'm going to read one line at a time, and you repeat after me. So I, in your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
I'm going to give you one more opportunity to reward these folks with your applause, but we still have to pin their badges. And I would like to say, you know, the reserve firefighters are the backbone of our community. I mean, we really rely on them here at the South Bay Station and throughout the county. These reserves have put in, all of them, probably over 200 hours of training to get here today to volunteer for this community. They go through a firefighter academy, 80-hour firefighter academy. They go through 24 hours of hazmat training. They do anywhere from 56 to over 100 hours of EMS training and lots of other various training to volunteer their services to this community. And they're on call. They respond to calls day or night as they're available. We also schedule them 24/7. There is a reserve firefighter on every day here to meet our minimum staffing levels. So we count on them very heavily and really appreciate their contribution. I think we'll, Chief Pisano will help me here. This is his division. And Phil Veneris, who is your battalion chief here, is down on the border firing down by Tecate, Mexico, couldn't be here tonight. So Chief Pisano offered to stand in. Chief Pisano and I will pin the badges, and we can ask, I'll get those for you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's welcome our newest firefighters to the community.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the meeting tonight. We have one quick item to attend to, and then we're going to take a break to collect speaker cards for general public comment. We made some changes to the agenda in the order of sequence. Therefore, we want to ratify the agenda that was posted on October 4th, 2005. So I just need a motion and a second.
Second.
Mr. McClendon, or Mrs. Vega, I guess I could add. Sorry, I have lots of help tonight.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Cicina.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. We're going to take about a 10-minute break. Please, the speaker cards are over here. The agendas are over here. If you'd like to speak during general public comment, please get a speaker card and pass it to Mrs. Vega, our board secretary. We're getting ready to get started. Could everybody please take their seats? If you'd like to speak, please submit a speaker card. And let me know if you like speaker cards. We may or may not continue the speaker cards. So, up, down. About to begin again. We're going to start with general public comment. And may I have the speaker cards? We're trying to keep the speeches must be 3 minutes or less. And if you're interested in donating minutes to someone else, I'm going to be allowing at least one person to donate minutes to another person. So if you have something very important to say, you need to get donated minutes. But otherwise, 3 minutes per person. And I'd like to start with Sylvia Neller, followed by Steve Dresnell.
Good evening. I'm Sylvia Neller from Cuesta by the Sea. I know you are under a terrific strain. This is a tough job, and I'm with you all the way. I really want to make that clear. I have two complaints. I'm voicing my concern about the posting of meetings. I was very disappointed to go out of town on Saturday, believing that the next meeting was going to be on Thursday night, which had been said last Thursday. And also, I barely found out about the meeting on Tuesday night when I happened in on Gail's little group and someone mentioned it. I understand neither one was in the paper. And I would caution you that not everybody has access to an internet or a computer. And I remember when the other CSD board had some meetings that were not in the paper, and they were really quickly, you know, brought before the public, and not very many people got to attend, how upset we got over that. So that's, I think that's very important that we know how you are going to post them so we can depend on it, so we can, then I will take the responsibility of looking where you tell me it will be. That's one thing. Bruce, excuse me, I don't know why that name's in my mind, but it is. Al Barrels at the last Thursday meeting brought up, I think that's the meeting, he brought up an idea he wanted you to hear from Pentair about pump system. And Gail McPherson, if I remember right, came up and said that they were illegal, that they wouldn't work. I thought I heard her say that. If that's true, what I want is chapter and verse on why something won't work when someone who is as smart as Al is and who has done as much work for the community as he has, when he presents something, I want to understand more than just having someone say, oh, it won't work. I need to hear more. And she may be very right, but I will tell you that I'm jaded when it, and I need to hear more than we've talked about that or it won't work. And that's
Director Fouché.
You got it? Well, I just wanted to respond to the comment about what Gail, how she responded to Al Barrow's proposal. I don't recall her saying it doesn't work. I think she cautioned just the use of vendors, is all I recall, because there's always a sole source. There's costs involved when you bring a vendor into a workshop. There's always an associated hidden cost, but it wasn't anything about the mechanical or even the fact that the system would work or not. That was, I don't recall of that being discussed at all. So, okay. You're
welcome. Director Cecilia?
No, I was just going to make the same comment. It's more like you can't call out a brand or specify this is exactly what we want to do. We decide what we want to do and then ask for different people who can do that. And that's all she was cautioning us about.
Stephen Dresnell, followed by Tom Salmon.
Steve Presnell, lost also since 1997. I'm neither pro or against the sewer being built in town or moved out of town. As most of you know, the WCQCB board has announced today that they plan to meet in December to discuss fines against Los Osos. I only have one question. How will the CSD push through, the plans to move the sewer out of town, even with the events of the fines, about $11 million from the board? And question number two, how will the CSD stop the fines from coming? Thank you.
Let's take the rest of the comments, and we'll respond to the questions at the end of the comments. Mr. Salmon?
Good evening. I thought I was done with all this. Anyway, thanks a lot for being here tonight. I'm going to try to make an analogy here so the rest of the community can understand how I feel about what's going on in town. We're in a war in Iraq, and there's some people that like the war and believe it's necessary, and there's some people that don't like the war and think it's unnecessary. But what everyone in this country believes in is that we need to support the troops. No matter what happens, there's no reservations. We need to support the troops. That's what we have in Los Osos today. We're in a war. The other day I said you guys won the first battle, and the battles are going to increase. You guys have to stand do whatever you need to do to protect the troops. The troops in this instance are the citizens of Los Osos. Whether the pro-CSD or the anti-CSD or the move the sewer or keep the sewer, it doesn't matter. For the last 6 years, we have not had anyone protecting the troops. We have used the troops. We have ambushed the troops. We have abused them. We have killed them like that. We've now hired an interim general manager who is neutral. We've never had that before. This is a new beginning for you guys. This is a new beginning for this community. We cannot let people like the regional board threaten the troops. We cannot let people like Pandora threaten the troops. You guys have to stand tall. I don't live here anymore. I moved away. But this home, this house, this community I've lived in for so long has a warm spot in my heart. And I want to help protect the troops from a distance. But I'm counting on the five of you to protect all the troops. Don't let them get hurt. Do what you're doing. Fight these people. Stop the construction companies. Stop Montgomery Watson from stealing my money. Stop John Wallace and Associates from stealing my money. Stop Barnhart Construction from stealing my money. Stop everyone from stealing the money. We have stopped projects throughout this country when they were bad projects. We have wasted billions on projects that never worked. Do not let this happen to these people. They have put their faith in you. Please understand the responsibility you have to protect the troops, all of them. God bless you.
John Perkins, are you here? Mr. Perkins?
Madam President, members of the board, my name is John Perkins, and I'm a 16-year resident of the Prohibition Zone. And whatever project you finally get, I'm going to be one of the ones that pay for it. I wasn't going to make any remarks tonight, but the actions of the State Water Board persuaded me to vent my displeasure with your actions. You invoked a clause in Proposition B to temporarily stop work on the wastewater project. Proposition B, by the way, the last I heard, was declared illegal. It has not been heard by the appellate court yet, and as far as I know, it's still illegal, despite the fact that it was voted upon. And I'm sure it will be declared illegal by the appellate court. Director Tacker stated that it was just a temporary stop order, but then she stated that we have no project. That doesn't sound to me like a temporary project, temporary stop order. How much has that temporary stop order cost us so far in the few days? The figure I've heard is $650,000. How much more will it cost us? You have already decided to gamble our money on a wastewater project. By Director Cecina's own remarks, was proposed by a Canadian firm that has never built a plant in California and has no. Your actions have probably cost us a $35 million grant from the federal government. You have probably cost us a low-interest state loan, and you have probably cost us millions of dollars in fines. Yes, in just over a week, you've accomplished a lot. I won't say what Mr. Legros said, but yeah, you've got chutzpah. Good luck.
I have one more speaker card about fines. Mr. Bearden, if you would come up to the microphone, and then I'm going to ask staff to respond since we've had three or four questions about fines. I'd like staff input after that.
I don't think you can ask the staff to respond since it says, please note that state law precludes board discussion of actions on comments made concerning items not on the agenda. Okay, anyway, I'm looking at this fines by the state water, regional water quality control board.
Madam President, can we get a name for the record?
Don Bearden. She said my name whenever she called me to the stand. I live in a prohibition zone. On this page 2 of this thing, it says, we also intend to begin enforcement proceedings against individual dischargers. That is, individual property owners with septic discharges in violation of basin plan prohibition. That means me. So I don't know when they're going to come after me, but I do not appreciate this.
May I have Ms. Gail McPherson next, please? You have donated minutes for one time.
Oh, okay. I don't think I need that much time. I spoke on the last two meetings, and I would just reference back to what was my comments back then about the fines and what we expected. This is not a surprise, of course. The gamble started back when we hit the ground running in December with the recall. We realized at that point, and I wanted to remind the public, that we knew at that time that the fees and charges were being calculated based on some new information. And that information was that the project was going to be hugely expensive. And people knew that it was going to be over 100, 150, and it kept growing until it was over 200. And when we realized that, we said, gee, we don't really want to build this project. We think we better stop and either value engineer or do something. So I would want the public to look back at that, and maybe we could have a workshop and kind of go through the history so we don't have to do this at the podium every single meeting. I don't want to go back and talk about the gamble, but we did not have to stop this or start this project. And if we didn't have to start it, we shouldn't have to stop it. It's too bad we're here. But the fact is that the project didn't have to have the bids awarded until after the 20th of September. That's a fact. That's in a letter March 11th from the regional board. They wanted to assure that we weren't going to do this, that we weren't going to gamble. But we that gambled, is not these board members. They're the three that are suing you now. These guys, I was in the at the board offices today, and they said that they were going to be mailing out a letter and pulling it together and trying to get it out by tomorrow. Stan Gustafson was sitting in the lobby. That just isn't going to happen. We won't even get in there and talk about it until December. But I want to calm people down and let them know that this is an effort to jack the price up, theoretically, to gamble with your money, and to try to make you seem as though you have no other choice but to pick this project. You already made that choice. This board had a promise of a first 100 days. And I just want to remind you of what those things are. The first one was to be transparent and not do the things that the last board did. Hiding costs, not telling you until the last minute what's going to happen. They're going to be meeting so frequently that you're going to hear about it over and over again. They were going to also have a code of conduct. And that meant that they were going to respect people and not diminish our democratic system or ignore the vote. They were going to staff responsibly, and that meant not to hire a bunch of people to waste your funds, but to hire people who could actually do something in-house and do the job, like figuring out affordability and how much we've really spent. We're going to have a project audit, anti-enforcement strategies, which they've been working on for months, water quality and risk assessments, affordability so that we can actually apply for grants and not just borrow a lot of money, put together a facility plan, which they've been working on alternatives, and sites, many alternative sites, project funding strategies, a cost-effective accountability and audits to figure out where the money has gone and how much we're going to need in the future, and bottom line, long-term strategic planning. Everybody in this community should get behind that and support that and say no to these three ousted directors and their sour grapes. Help us to do what we voted to do. Public contract law, what I said about that. I caution that you shouldn't have Pentair pumps come in here as a sole vendor and show their wares. I thought that that was something that we would do through staff from here on out because we have adequate staff to do that. And so I want to clarify that. I never said that was illegal. It's illegal to go ahead and say, yeah, I'll buy your pumps and I'll buy your bar screen. You just can't do that. So we have staff to do that. And I had other things to say, but I guess I jumped into the fine issue. And I just think that you guys have done a great job. You're prepared. You're ready. You didn't think about the recall without thinking about how you were going to fix the problem. So thanks once again.
Lacey Cooper, followed by Ben Charlesworth. Lacey Cooper, then Mr. Charlesworth. Ben.
Hi, this is Lacey Cooper, Prohibition Zone. I just want to, you know, say here to what Gail said, because it still astonishes me that people, I guess the opposition, can't look to put any responsibility or blame, I guess you'd call it, on the old board, that what she said is true. They got us here into a mess. The other thing is that I'm disturbed and upset with the Regional Water Quality Control Board's letter about fines and things. I think they're poor people don't have the right to live on the coast. The technical term for what these people are trying to do is gentrification. Welcome to my neighborhood. Can you say land grab? How about economic class cleansing? All this under the guise of their noble ambition to save the citizens of Los Osos money. I agree, it's all about money. The schemers making more money and you having to sell your homes. They also get rid of the riffraff. They mean you and me at the same time. What a deal.
Excuse me, Mr. Charlesworth. After Bill Charlesworth, it's Al Barrow, Bo Cooper, and Kelly Lewis.
My name is Bill Charlesworth. I'm a Los Osos resident of 13 years. First of all, I wanted to thank the outgoing board for all their hard work. They put in a lot of time, and I think they deserve some response for their efforts. I've heard a lot of people who voted against them in this last recall citing corruption and a lot of things that they did that were bad. Yet the only evidence I ever heard were the concept that they proceeded with the project in an expeditious manner as required by the Water Board. No other examples. I'd just like to say that just because people repeat something again and again and again does not make it true. I think of weapons of mass destruction as a good example. There's a quote you all know, and it is, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I have to say that I think you're embarking on a course where you're not quite sure where it's going in a lot of different aspects, so I'd like to help in a couple respects. Back in 1998, I began speaking out against the Solutions Group project. They had a project they thought would work, and I went to their initial meetings, and it sounded good. I'd worked for city government and contract administration for about 11 years, had some experience in this, and I started looking at some of the finer points, and I found that their proposal was deficient in many of its omissions and in its naivety. And it's kind of an eerie feeling to be here 7 years later standing in front of a CSD board feeling the same thing. All I can say is at least the CSD that was here before the Solutions Group had something concrete to examine and to look at. I told them what I will tell you today, that happy thoughts and a can-do attitude cannot accomplish the impossible. I put my concerns down in a little document entitled Solution or Mistake. I gave that to the Solutions Group, to the California Coastal Commission. I attended all the early CSD meetings trying to convince them not to go ahead with their project, that it was a gamble. Same thing I'm hearing tonight. That time, there were very few people going to those CSD meetings, and I have to say I was universally ignored. But over time, my report was quite accurate. I as I spoke to that early CSD and presented my concerns, I can see them kind of metaphorically putting their hands to their ears, doing something what my youngest daughter does, and that's kind of la 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 la, I can't hear you, and that's how I felt. Some of the concerns I shared with them are the same. Up with just one question for you, we have contractors out there idling away, doing nothing. Is there a cost per day that we know of that's costing the community? Thank you.
Al Barrow, Bo Cooper, Kelly Lewis, 1, 2, 3.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow. Mrs. Viviani donated 3 minutes of my time. I'll try to keep it as short as I can. First of all, I'd like to open up by saying the California wastewater charges averaged in studies done in 2003 in the spring by the State Water Resources Control Board showed that cities of our size are spending less than $25 a month on their wastewater charges. And the reason I'm saying that, I'm prefacing this statement, that to even imagine for anyone to think that we couldn't get a different sewer than this sewer, a cheaper sewer, a more protective sewer of the environment, a more protective sewer of our groundwater resources, which is the whole reason that we're having to build a sewer, according to the Water Board, is absolutely ridiculous. They're all over. Many different styles and kinds. They're mix and match. They have little parts to them. Some are. There's a lot of ponds in town. Rob Miller's company has a new pond down in Napomo. There's one up in Templeton, and these ponds range in the cost of $4 or $5 million. I know the one in Templeton cost $3.5 million. And we have to also look at the fact that we don't have to do an environmental impact report on a step collection system. The low pressure collection systems are the thing of the future. In the eastern part of the country, that's what they do. This is an antiquated collection system, a gravity collection system. And it's very, very expensive. Step collection systems are usually about one-third or less the cost of a standard system. And I wanted the general public to know, I know the board knows this already, that there are many companies out there, competent companies, who would be happy to come here, fill this void, and bring to you many options, including the ones that you've looked at as technical task force members. I would like to offer this package that arrived by FedEx today, addressed to each individual board member. If you'd like to pass these around, can I give them to you? This particular engineering company is a member of Wastewater Engineering Foundation, WEFTEC, which is one of the most prestigious wastewater organizations in the world. And he worked with Graham Knowles last week in Florida. He's close contact with George Sabanaglis. His approach is consulting and engineering service, holistic, integrated, sustainable wastewater management system services for Los Osos. He's interested in being of assistance to the Los Osos Community Services District. Your presentation of LII's interest in the LOCSD will be greatly appreciated. It's been a pleasure to have been in contact with you during the recent months, and so on and so forth. Well, I think you all have a copy of this, and I don't want to belay the subject, but this is one of many engineering companies that are highly qualified that have worked with alternative biological, sustainable types of things rather than the mechanical, expensive plant that we have been foisted upon us. And again, I would like to say Pentair Pumps, a $10 billion company, almost all engineering companies know who Pentair Pumps is, Myers Pumps, and many other lines of pumps, use those pumps. They have a low-pressure design system. They designed the step collection system for us in the pressure curve at no charge. And they're working right now to bring to Los Osos a team of seven executives from their companies, They just recently bought Delta Environmental. And they will come up here and make a workshop presentation and put their cards and their tool chest on the table and make it available to you. And I mentioned that before. And I'm sure that there's tens of others that would be happy to come. But I think the concept of having of what you want is sustainable. There are people right now that have been working on this for over a year. So to say that you're starting off from scratch, as John Perkins has implied, is a very false concept. I know you all have been working on this problem for over a year and a half as part of the technical task force before you ever came on board. You're very well informed, and you know the options. So don't let anybody in this town say that Los Osos doesn't have an opportunity for a better and a cheaper system. Thank you.
Bo Cooper, Kelly Lewis, and then Dick Sargent.
Bo Cooper, Prohibition Zone. I want to thank you guys for being elected. I want to remind everybody that it wasn't a coincidence that you're elected. There was an election. You guys got the majority of the votes because the idea was that there was a lot of trouble with the proposed sewer plant. I want to be here to give you moral courage, to give you strength, to remind you that it's the right thing. No matter what, in my opinion, the old sewer plan had to be stopped. Now we have to fight the bad guys in order to do the right thing. I'm here to offer whatever assistance I can. I know the audience is with you, most of the audience is with you as well. I want to remind people, in the Ninth Circuit Court in 2002, one of the rulings said by the judge, he said, it does not shock the conscience of the court, even if those within the prohibition zone assert that they cannot afford the assessments and will be forced to sell the property and move elsewhere. If that's the legal opinion, then it's morally bankrupt. I can't speak to the legal stuff except from common sense, but I can speak to the moral and ethical things. And to have a third of the town, I think, in anticipation of tomorrow's court date, where they want to have a temporary restraining order to place on your stop work order, I think they don't have a sense of let's work together towards the common good. I think whatever their agenda is, and I'm getting more and more unhappy in my heart about what the agenda might be and those who support them, whatever their agenda is, doesn't seem to be for the common good. It doesn't allow the possibility of moving forward. There I go, moving forward. Also in that packet with that letter, it talks about pursuant to, on page 11, pursuant to Water Code Section 13327, the Water Board shall consider certain things with respect to the violator, which they consider to be you, which include the ability to pay, the affordability study needs to happen, the ability to continue with business. They're trying to bankrupt the CSD, which won't get them there anyway. There still needs to be an election to get rid of them.
Mr. Cooper, are you wrapping up?
I'm wrapping up. And the degree of culpability, I say Measure B, the initiative, covers you on that. And also any other matters that justice may require. Social justice requires holding the line against the bad project, standing up for the good project, and standing up for the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly Lewis, followed by Dick Sargent, followed by Dave Dugan.
President Schicker, Board, Kelly Lewis, Los Osos. Gordon Hensley was my youth pastor when I was in high school at Morro Bay High. I don't know that man. I don't know these people that would come to harm the community that they were elected to support and to serve, to come back and try to harm them and push through these fines and to stop the CSD, the duly elected board, from doing their job, which is the job to support the community that voted them into office to move this sewer out of town, to stop, talk about gambling. I hear that you guys are gambling with the community's money. there were some big rollers in Tiny Town out here because Hurricane Stan, you see the results. That was a gamble, and it is sick that that is there. And those people, how do they sleep at night? And yeah, those people, you're one of them. I'm sorry for you. This town needs to come together. This town needs to move. We had an election. Let's move on. Let's support this board. Write Lois Capps. You got a letter from Lois Capps yesterday in your mailbox. She says that the new Clean Water Act 2005, I'm not sure if that's what it's called, there is funds to help Los Osos with their treatment facility. Now, she might have been talking about this debacle, but it's stayed in my mailbox today, and we're working on a new plan. And she needs to help us. Write her.
Dick Sargent, followed by David Dugan.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. I said fines. Will you allow me to talk about house numbers for just a second here? Being an old fireman, I may check on your house there, Lisa, to see if you have a good, clear control board letter. And it's dated October 6th, and they seem to be interested in a reply or some kind of reply by October 31st. So your committee is going to be very busy on that. But I told you I was really worried because I felt we were playing chicken with a freight train, and I my worries don't seem to go away. And it's a lot of figures here, the $11 million plus fine. And then the position is unchanged. And then if the completion proceeds immediately, prepared to recommend that the board apply assessed amounts to project costs, project costs. However, such recommendations would be contingent upon the CSD taking all the actions to support the completion of this project, and including but not limited to defending the appeal to the recent Superior Court ruling. You guys can understand it better than I, but these are scary words, you know, and I believe the board. That's my trouble, I guess. Maybe I'm just too naive. When they say they're going to fine us, I say, I listen, I'm trying, maybe I'm law and order too much, but a hearing on this matter is due in 90 days, unless you waive something, it looks like, in here. Further, this is called the administrative civil liability complaint. And it's orders, all these orders, and then down on the page here caught my eye. It says it talks the 396 days behind schedule, and that's what Los Osos CSD has failed to implement its community wastewater management plan, and that's exactly what I guess they're dealing in. Well, they even mentioned 1,080 days behind schedule if they go by way of the order number 00131. Now, here, they even throw out another number, $32.85 million. And, you know, Gail, much as I respect you, I didn't see between the lines any of the things you were saying. I hope that if it's true that these fines are just something to be negotiated all the way to the mat, that maybe that's a plus. But here's a $10,000 a day for each person. It's $5,000.
Mr. Sargent, are you wrapping up? Your little beeper went off, so
okay,
just wrap it up.
Let me give you the last little thing here, because this is the most important. It's on their last page. They come up with a number. Okay. $11,190,000. That was the last page.
Lindy Owen, followed by Joyce Albright, followed by Carol Keller. These are the last three I have. If you want to speak, please bring up your cards. Lindy Owen, Joyce Albright, Carol Keller.
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I guess I'll try to be as brief as I can. I agree with most of the speakers who feel that this fine is just another way of trying to force us to put this project through that our community voted on and has gone into law. And so I believe the regional board is actually challenging the legality of a state law at this point. And so I wonder what footing they have. I would go back and request that we find out why they didn't enforce Resolution 8312 issued the same day. I believe the whole premise of 8312 has been to basically ask us to do something about our wastewater. I think it went south at some point with people like Pandora Nash and developers pushing to get the largest, most expensive project they could into this community, which would then do the economic cleansing, which would then help the county, which would then, you know, everybody except the people in this community would gain out of something like that. The test wells that talked about the nitrate levels, they weren't legal test wells back in the mid-80s. I would ask that we have a complete reevaluation of the pollution level in this community, and then they want to take us, you know, then we can sit and talk. And I hope that they back off. I think this is all political, and I think it needs to stop. Thank you.
Mr. Dugan, David Dugan, followed by Joyce Albright, followed by Carol Keller. Sorry, Dave.
That's okay. We ought to start checking Pandora's backyard first. Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Some drunken drug addict is mad at the democratic process. Says so, right in the Bay News. It's right next to the letter from an idiot who doesn't know the election's over. Or maybe the Bay News, like the Tribune, is printing outdated letters to avoid printing congratulatory letters. Here's what our disaffected voter has to whine about. Now, I wonder what they're saying. Holy cow, we won. Now what do we do? What a moron. Anybody knows that first thing you do after winning an election is throw a victory party. The writer goes on to cry about cost and delays. Let's see. Los Osos CSD accepts bids at almost 50% over the project estimates, and then they delay the election so they can spin, spin, spin. That's cost and delays. The letter writer goes on to whimper with a pout. 40% of the registered voters didn't vote. Wrong, 32% didn't vote, and I wonder why. Maybe they were led to believe a recall defeat was a done deal, or the county would take the project over. Then this idiot goes on to say something about cheaper, faster, better, and tells us how he failed at his own attempts to do something, whatever that something was. Then the writer wants the alternative project to be revealed with some kind of proof that it's cheaper, faster, better. But I think the drugs and alcohol were starting to take effect by now. Because the letter is so incoherent, it's almost like a child was writing it. The writer goes on to say, now we all have to suffer the consequences of democracy, of the democratic process. This guy can kiss my sweet patootie. Gary. Oops. Did I say Gary Carner? Oh. Oops, I did it again. Sorry. No, I'm not. Kiss it. Loser. Speaking of losers, where's Pandora? Oops.
Don't hit me.
I did it again. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, come on. Cheers. Okay, I'd just like to make a plea for everybody to please try to remain civil. And we want to keep our comments directed towards the board and the issues at hand. Joyce Albright, followed by Carol Keller.
Kinsley, Bruce Buell, Richard LeGros, slander anybody. Everybody laughs, but they will not admit that that's true. My name is Joyce Albright, and I live in Los Osos.
Please, everybody, let's let the
I wish to
speak.
Thank Stan Gustafson, Gordon Hensley, and Richard LeGros, and Bruce Buell, and Pandora Nash for the thousands of hours they devoted to bringing Los Osos to the brink of construction of a sewer. My concern is money, as is that of everyone. I have researched both sides of the issue and concluded long ago that the current project will work, the site is good, and that the state will not allow us at this point to change horses. You are determined to challenge the state in the hope you can stare them down. I hope you are right, because in my eyes, you are bleeding Los Osos. As far as harmony is concerned, it doesn't appear to me that your supporters have changed their hostile behavior, nor intend to. You and your supporters have filed 17 lawsuits against the CSD, Yet when someone else files a suit, you are offended. How strange. What is good for the goose doesn't seem to be good for the gander. I agree with Dick Sargent. You are playing chicken with a freight train, with my money. Those wishing to read Briggs' letter can go to the website, which is www.waterboards.ca.gov/Central Coast, and read it for yourself. And the initiative is not law. It was struck down and appealed. So until the appeal is addressed, there is no law.
Could I have a comment on that from staff, please? Mr. McClendon, could you explain Measure B, current status of Measure B?
Yes. As I understand the posture of the case, there was a suit that was brought by the CSD challenging what's called a pre-ballot challenge. That pre-ballot challenge was upheld by the trial court judge, ordering Measure B to be removed from the ballot. The suit was filed against the county registrar clerk. There was an immediate appeal to the Court of Appeal, and basically arguing a long line of judicial opinions that say pre-ballot challenges are generally disfavored. The appropriate time is to take a challenge after the election. Apparently that was persuasive to the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal stayed the order issued by the trial court judge and has set a hearing on that, actually has issued what's called an order to show cause to the trial court judge. The order to show cause tells the trial court judge, you need to appear before the Court of Appeal.
I slipped some except.
When I put my, Carol Keller, Los Osos. When I put my speaker slip in, I hadn't heard all of these good speakers and Gail, and I'm not on task as eloquent as Gail. However, I'm one vote, and so I figured I was going to get up here. I am thrilled with all of you, and I felt so good about the system, that the system worked, that the people spoke out. However, I am not over. I guess many people here are bigger than I am, because I'm not over what I remember just 2 months ago, that I felt that the CSD3 and Bruce and others were writing checks with my name on it and the city's name on it and spending our money. And we weren't happy about it, and we spoke out. Why I'm upset now is I go back and forth, because by the one hand, I totally trust that all of you know that, and you've mentioned audits. But I worked in human resources for 20-some years. And when we had an employee, Bruce and others, who were so far off the mark of the incoming, you know, when the President of the United States comes in, a new Congress comes in, and it really bugs me to have the people who were signing the checks having single signatures on bank accounts, and as the previous speaker said, that he had never heard anything except rumor. That is not a rumor, and it's not a rumor that money was spent with no receipts, just verbal. These kind of things, they don't get it. And I'm saying to them, I don't want to be disrespectful, only because I have so much respect for Lisa, and so I'll try to be good here. But I'm saying to you, CSD3, that you don't know what you're taking on. These people have spoken. You are gone, and we are continuing to have you gone. And as far as these people, sour grapes. You know, I remember when President Clinton, I lived in Orange County, Republican County, President Clinton was voted in. The very next day, there were nasty bumper stickers. I didn't vote for him. Boy, it's all coming back to me. They have no concern with their town, and they should. It's where they own property. It's where they own businesses. It's where they own homes. I come from a wealthy family. I understand. My dad doesn't like to lose. He doesn't have to lose very much because he has a lot of money, and I'm hearing that again. So just to rephrase, you guys, I so totally respect you, and I'm so glad that you're up there. I believe you all have integrity, but I just had to vent that it really bugs me that we still have employees here that spent my money. Oh, my 3 minutes. I'll sum up. Well, I'll just say to those who are...
A lot of people talking about all these things, but let's see, like July of 2004, I was in Torrance for the Regional Quality Control Board, Water Board. They were astounded to reason why people wanted this sewer right in the middle of town. So really, even they had questions about it. But they said move forward just because they were sick of this fighting here for about 10 or 20 years, you know. Anyways, I'd like to thank every one of you up here. I really believe that you'll be for all of us. Anybody who's afraid of fines, they had reverse mortgages, companies already being put in here. Does anybody know what that is? Because they'll take your home from you. Anyways, I also would like to say, because there's just so many issues, that obviously the majority won. The majority agrees that even if they had to pay more, they want that sewer where they want it. That's where we want it, out of this town. I think that would be a beautiful park or anything. I am just totally in glad support that is obviously showing that we are the winners and that the community really doesn't want it here. As a renter or an owner of a home, I'd like to also say that it's proven that... No matter what the opposition wants to do, whether we're up to our old tricks again or not, we won. And we are the winners because that's the truth of the real matter. That's the way it really is. Also, when you get in the mail saying that your vote won't make a difference, so take it back. You know darn well that bad politics is really trying to infiltrate everybody's home. And Stan Gufson basically spent our money. He spent our money before this election even happened. And even if the Water Control Board wants to find, I, in my heart of hearts, really don't believe that they're going to find very much because we are moving forward with a project. I also believe that they found it strange to be put here in the middle of this tiny, tiny little town. I believe the workers found it very strange that a sewer was being put in this tiny little town. A lot of people are really, truly against it. And so anyways, I'm just up here because I want to thank every one of you, and the way I see it is the community won. Thank you very much.
Alon Perlman, followed by Keith Swanson. If anybody else wants to speak, let me know now. I'm on my last slip.
Hi, this is Alon Perlman from the Prohibition Zone. Sun goes up, sun goes down. This is just another day in Los Osos. Everybody here, almost everybody here, certainly the people I'm addressing, knew about Mr. Briggs. Anybody here could possibly have actually written the letter that you received today. 6 weeks ago. Things are predictable. Things, you start a course of action, and there are certain possibilities, but that letter is not necessarily new. It's too early for you guys to respond to it. It may be possible that somebody would bring up a question set in a later part of this evening, which is, I hope where you're going to run in the tall grass with the big dogs. Not with the paper tigers, with the big dogs. So if you're ready, and I think you are, that's what you're going to do. You're going to run in the tall grass with the big dogs. And match them and show us what you can do. Our other choice, the one that we elected not to have, was that we would dig a hole so deep that we couldn't climb out of it. So I'm glad we didn't take that choice. Really glad we didn't do that. The voices have chosen. And by the way, speaking of paper tigers, I did hear that you guys said clearly that Fines and Mr. Briggs were not a paper tiger. It was stated. The voters heard that. Some may have chosen on that basis. One way or another, the truth, as they say, has been out there. And it's very painful to die from speaking of paper tigers, one of the most painful deaths is to die from 1,000 paper cuts. So I hope you can get through the bureaucratic end of this as you shuffle paper and move on. Tomorrow, again, the sun will set on Los Osos, a town where the voters have chosen their future. Thank you very much.
Keith Swanson, followed by Karen Venditti.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. It's amazing that the campaign commercials are still continuing. Where's the optimism? Where was the CSD3? I guess they complained about, I think maybe Gordon complained about the fact that you guys didn't go through the ceremony of passing the gavel. Where are these guys to help us now? Instead, they're out there fighting to screw us like they screwed us before. They had a choice. They didn't wait. We're a victim of bad government. And I would argue to the Water Board that this CSD had an opportunity during the substantial issue hearing to get a pulse of the community and make a decision. Do we want it in the middle of town or not? It was obvious by that meeting they wanted it out of town, but they ignored it. Could have had a vote in that November. When the bids came in, $36 million over. That's a lot of money, $36 million. You talk about an $11 million fine. They fined this community $36 million by accepting those bids. Then the Water Board said, well, we understand they are quite high. We'll give you some time to go out and rebid. Do you think they did? No, because they knew there was a recall election coming, and they felt they were going to win. So if you want to talk about a freight train and chicken, they played it on this community, and they lost. And we're stuck with this now. And I think what we should hold each one of those board members personally responsible for what they did to this community. You ask about evidence. There's so much evidence that this board prior has done to this community, totally against the grain of the wishes of this community. And it wasn't until the recall vote that we down. That should have given you a clue that you've got a problem, folks, and you should stop. So don't blame legal action for fighting this sewer. I'm proud that I did. Actually, I got some time donated to me by Carol Cribbs, but I won't take too much longer. And Charlesworth seems to be ignoring that same thing, that this didn't, you know, yeah, he scared me before. The regional board even told them, don't go forward with this, and don't put it in the middle of town. Then you're going to be facing odors. And I believe we have abeyance that we can initiate to protect this community from these fines. And I think that's something that we certainly need to do. I'm just appalled by these people that the campaign's over and they're continuing with the same diatribe of information, misinformation, trying to scare this community, trying to scare you. You guys are going to do great, and I think the community has to be optimistic that you will do great because they spoke that you would do great. So let's look at this as an opportunity to do the best for Los Osos instead of the worst. Thank you.
Karen Venditti, followed by Richard Margetson.
Thank you very much. My name is Karen Venditti. I live in Los Osos. Just a couple thoughts. First of all, I want to thank the new board in its entirety for its commitment to hear the concerns and suggestions of all of the community members. I think that it personally, all of those people that I know are anxious to do what's right for the community, to move forward in the most constructive way possible. So my remarks tonight are not so much to the board as to the community for us to take responsibility for all of us, no matter what our opinion is in terms of the sewer project itself, for all of us to get together, to work together toward a good common cause, the good of our community. One of our largest concerns, of course, are the penalties that we possibly may be looking at from the Regional Water Board. And I would like to make the suggestion. I understand that politicians listen to, maybe the Water Board is not political per se, but they will listen to the constituents, hopefully. So I want to challenge the people who have been so active in the election on both sides of the fence. I want to challenge those people who care about Los Osos to write letters, to support the board. This is not just in the board's lap. We fail as a community if we expect these five people to do everything for us. And so I'm challenging the community of Los Osos to support you in tangible ways, not just with words, but writing letters, going places. You tell us what will be most effective, and we will take up that challenge to help you. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Margetson. Richard Margetson, and Richard, you have 3 minutes donated by Esther Susoff. If anyone else likes to speak, come up and give a slip. This is the last one I have.
Let me start with a couple comments dealing with other speakers. Everything's behind the scenes. Hit and run. Now, what I'm really offended about is the lawsuit, some of the wording in the lawsuit. 38 pages. A lot of the community won't get an opportunity or hasn't gotten an opportunity to see this, so you'll get the highlights in the Tribune tomorrow or on TV. I want to read a few lines from here of what these people think of the community, and I'll have some comments on some of this. Under points and authority in this lawsuit, under a category called the recent election and the status of the project. Unable to stop the project through court challenges, a group of disgruntled residents in Los Osos decided to recall three of the five district board members. The recall election was held on September 27th. 65% of the district voted, and the election was fairly close. However, the existing board members were recalled, and these three disgruntled residents were elected. I'm offended by that. I put your qualifications up against those three gentlemen any day of the week. As you read on further, this is an issue of a waste of taxpayer funds. And those who live in the prohibition zone will be paying for these mistakes for decades. They're putting it all on you now. Total denial again. Nothing they've done, they're going to take responsibility for. Boy, I hope the judge sees through this. Further on, they tried to get a measure on the ballot, changing the location after tens of millions of dollars had been spent. They failed. Now they have managed to get a third of the voters of the district to put them on the board. And with that one-third mandate, in quotations, they feel they can force the taxpayers in the prohibition zone to pay for a new EIR and the rest of the studies needed. One-third of the voters. Well, if that's the case, and they have a problem with only one-third of the voters electing you guys, the registered voters, then they should have a problem with who's sitting in Washington, because George Bush didn't get one-third of the registered voters in the United States. As you go further, as elected officials, they have a responsibility not to waste the resources of the district, and they cannot act so cavalierly towards the taxpayers. wow, coming from those three gentlemen that sat on this board, let's look at some of the things that I hold them responsible for, and let's see if they were prudent with our money. Two fire tax elections, one of them totally not needed, like to have that money back. Mechanic at the fire station, never even 50% cost justified, like to have that money back. Maria Singleton and the $600,000 spent on PR, nothing to show for it at this point, nothing to put our hands on. $20 an hour for the eyes in the back of the room, love to have that money back. Wave walls and to stop work on further in the lawsuit, to stop work on the project will cost tens of millions of dollars, wasted money, wasted time. This cannot be allowed to occur. But they started the project. They could have held the election. We've said it before. Who didn't ever have to dig a hole in the ground. That's on all that is on their ledger, as far as I'm concerned. Under the category, the emergency nature of this request, taxpayers in the prohibition zone will not be able to pay for the more than $200 million being racked up by the new board. I'd like to see the breakdown. There's no breakdown in this entire 39 pages of how they got to that. As it is, those in the prohibition zone agreed to pay $205 per month for 30 years. I'd like to know when that agreement was signed. Thank you.
I'm going to close public comment. And thank you all very much for speaking and participating. And we're going to take a 5-minute break and come back. Before we do, I just want to tell you, we are only planning to do 3 items tonight. Those 3 items are the affordability study, committee structure, and the consent calendar. So if you're thinking, we have a goal to be done by 10 o'clock tonight in our commitment to hold shorter meetings. 10
Madam
to 11,
President,
we'll have closed
Madam
session.
President,
I missed one.
Were we going to do the audit?
And the wastewater audit.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so those are the things we're going to do, those 4 items. They're A1, 2, 3, and consent items, and we'll probably pull some off of consent. So if you're here for anything else, we will probably not get to it tonight. We're planning for our closed session at 10 p.m. We'll take a 5-minute break. Everybody's having so much fun. I feel like an MC. Time to get the meeting. Let's have the meeting get started again. Could we have everybody please take a seat? We're going to start the meeting. We're going to get started again, please. Everybody please take a seat. Okay, here's what we got planned for the next 2 hours, and I'm going to indulge your cooperation so we can get through all the items if we can. First, before we start on agenda item A1, we're going to have a few brief comments from staff to explain the situation of the Regional Water Quality Control Board's role in relation to our role. And Mr. Bearden, you're incorrect. I'm sorry, and we can talk about it later. This is totally allowed by the Brown Act. We've had many questions from the audience, and they do want some explanation, and we are going to agendize this in further for another meeting, because you are partially correct. Okay, Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Madam President. I've been asked to speak to the history of Time Schedule Order 0. That was filed in December of 2001. This petition is effectively an appeal because the State Water Resources Control Board is the policy board that oversees each of the regional water quality control boards. So your petition is on file, your appeal is on file, and as it's been explained to staff by Special District Counsel Gary Grimm, the state board would need to dispose of the petition before they could hold their compliance action. and I want to make sure that the community understands that that this petition was initially filed in December 2001. It had a one-year time frame, we asked the state to continue that appeal window, if you will, for another year from December 2001 to December 2002, then from 2002 to 2003 to 2004, and last year, in 2004, we asked for that petition to be extended through the end of 2005. In each case, the State Board has granted those continuances, and the petition is held in abeyance, that is, until your board formally requests the state to hear the petition. It is still a valid petition, and it is and it can be activated at any time. That will require an action by your board. I would encourage you to agendize that at some point. That is a potential defense in regard to the regional board's fines. I also wanted to note more recently, on Tuesday of this week, October 4, 2005, your board did form a regulatory compliance team. John McClendon, your counsel, Dan Blesky, thank you, and I'm still struggling with that, I apologize. Chuck Cicina and John Fouché have been assigned to negotiate with both the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the State Water Resources Control Board. And it's my understanding that Director Fouché, Vice President Fouché, has talked to Executive Officer Roger Briggs and has actually set up an appointment to hold those discussions. So there's a number of threads historically that are out on the table that the community should be advised of.
Thank you. Director Decker.
Okay, I have been following the previous project for some time, and at many opportunities I went to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, I went to the State Board, and over again, when we asked for their help to move the sewer, they said, I wrote it down. If you're not satisfied, community. Thank you. Any other? Okay.
Are there any other director comments at this time? Just one brief one from me on the same topic. Please read all of the law when you get all. Everybody's in a frenzy right now, and we just got started. Give us some time. We're moving very quickly. We've got our team already in place in less than a week. We're taking this matter seriously, and we're trying to protect you. But remember this. The Water Board doesn't pick the project or the price. All of you need to know that. We pick the project and the price. We must comply. That's the truth. Those two things are true. But we pick the project and the price, and that's what we're trying to do. That's all. So please help us. We need all of you to help us. Okay, now we're going to go on to agenda item A1. And what this item is something that Director Tacker and I agendized about a year ago, and we still want, and many of the citizens as well. And what we want to do is discuss a scope of work and authorization to conduct a Los Osos wastewater project audit. Now, what does that mean, an audit? What do we want to know? Now, coming from me, and then the other directors will chip in here, we want to know what was spent when on, and what the money was spent for and when it was spent and who spent it. That's kind of the short version of it. But we need your input on things that are important to you to know about the audit. Before I continue, does staff have anything to add to a wastewater project audit?
Madam President, we have staff has nothing to add other than what you've provided already, and that we're prepared to formulate the RFP for those services.
Okay. Directors? Director Fouché, Vice President.
I would like to ask staff if we could just do that with your staff instead of doing an RFP, and maybe that'll speed up the process.
We've already looked into candidates for that that provide the municipal audit services outside of Muni for consideration by the board. So, yes, we've already kind of looked into that to get you some background. I can provide that at a later on a later agenda if you so direct.
I would like to see that happen.
Any other director comments at this time before we open it up to public comment? Director Sennett?
Well, I think we need to know what we're looking at here, the audit of the project. And I think this is going to reveal what we paid for, why we did it, and take a look at it. And I think it will reveal that a lot of the money that we spent on this project was for needed studies and things that are going to be used in the future. And although they apply for this project, they'll apply to any project we pick. So when claims come out that we're wasting the $20 million that, of the bond, you should know that we'll see a lot of hard work that was done to go into this project that will translate.
I also think that we ought to do this scope of work in the light of the Montgomery Watson project report. I think that's important to make that comparison as to the basis for the spending of the money was a project report. And to see if the accepted values in that project report were false or were not false is important. For example, some statements were made that an alternative collection system would be quite a lot more expensive than gravity collection system. I think you have to look at that and come to a conclusion. Is that an erroneous statement or an erroneous presumption? And I think one of the benefits of your work on doing an audit of the project report is to see if the money spent was effective in terms of the goals of the project report. And I think there's some questions there. I also think that you need to further discuss the scope of the work of the audit. I haven't heard much discussion about that, so I don't understand exactly what your scope is. And I also think, and I'd like to respond to John Fouché's statement that he would like to see in-house work, and I'd like you to expand on that because I think there's, I gave you a packet today. These people are very good. They have audited many wastewater projects in this packet right here, and they may be capable of doing that. There may be others as well. And we should probably also look at the audit work that was done for the district. I don't know if you've considered that or not, but there's been a lot of audit work done for the district by professionals. Could you make some comments on that, please?
Director Fouché?
I'll speak to it a little bit. Wildam brings to us a full service company. They do everything, and time is of the essence, and that's my consideration at this point. We're trying to protect the community's finances, taxpayers' dollars, any way we can, and we need to move as quickly as we can and be as transparent as we can. We don't want to overstep the bounds of what you folks expect us to do, but we want you to know that we're doing what we feel is the best thing for the community while keeping you involved at the same time. So if we've hired a company as a full-service company to do the work that they can do for us, why would we need to consider using their services? Thank you.
Mr. Barrow, please, we'll take care of your questions afterwards. It's appropriate to speak at the microphone. If you have more questions, come up to us afterwards. It can be handled. Ms. McPherson.
Hi. Gail McPherson. The importance of, I had just jotted down transparency because I think that's what's so important for the community to see is the audit, the results of that audit. Where have we been spending our money for all of these years since the beginning of the wastewater project? And then, more important, take a look at what the investment is to date, and that will have a lot to do with how we negotiate our fines. But my biggest concern in quantifying those costs and putting together looking at everything that's been spent to date, the entire investment, and what our, quote, sunk costs are, and then that would help assist us in the salvage plan. And then I'm also just want confirmation that a new facility report would then compare the things like an oxidation ditch to a pond, the plan we have out here to just pick it up and move it versus starting over, land costs, and also a step or a pressure system versus a gravity. Am I reading that correct? Okay, I'm here. I see nods. Okay, well, anyway, I just hope that that this is done quickly because I know that that's really an important part of the audit is to get the information very quickly so we have a grip on exactly where we're at. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I have a couple curiosities. One, I am curious to know if there is a basis for some of the audit work already done. I think Mr. Bruce Buell could answer that. Or has this all just been a muddle of paperwork that I know that the two directors have been asking for information as to how much has been spent to date. And I'm wondering if you could tell us at what point we are now. Is this starting from scratch, or do we actually have some of the information that has been compiled? Mr. Bruce Buell could explain that maybe. I'm also looking forward to knowing how much was wasted by moving forward at the wrong time before we had an election. The prior CSD board definitely cost this community a lot of money by moving forward, believing that they had this election in their pocket, and I think I don't know if there's any legal way to make anybody else responsible for having done that, but probably not. And then lastly, I'm very concerned about the amount of water that is being wasted to keep the dust control over there. We are in saltwater intrusion. We have a very limited lower aquifer to be dealing with, and I would like to have that audit come out, too, to see how much water was wasted out of our lower aquifer in our drinking supply has been used to cut the dust down there, and it continues. And I would love to see that we find another source out of the upper aquifer for that because it's not cheap to replace lower aquifer money. We already know that's a big problem. So I commend you that we're definitely going to be able to salvage a lot out of this, but it'll be interesting to see how much was wasted. Thank you.
Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Yeah, I also had a question on what the time frame is, what you guys plan to do, how long is this going to take before we get this information, and also curious if this was a staff recommendation to do this or was this a board recommendation to do an audit. And I'm just wondering if the resources should, instead of spending the time to go to an RFP, if that's what we're going to do, to go out and get someone to do the audit, if the company that's here now can provide that service for us, why don't we just do that? It's certainly, again, they're not a dog in the fight, so they certainly will be able to look at it objectively. I meant to mention this earlier. It's on October 12th, Wednesday, in this South Bay Community Center, LOCAC is going to have a special meeting for the water management plan that I think everybody should be attending. It's concerning our water resources that we're lacking now, and we need to address that. Okay, thanks.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I agree with you. You need to have an audit. I don't think you need to put out an RFP, though. I think you have a perfectly good engineering firm that can supply all that stuff. It would be nice if he could give us a rough estimate and about how long it would take to get this done. Thank you.
Could staff comment on that this time? Any estimate on how long it might take to do an audit?
Madam President, I don't have a hardcore date, but I can provide that on very short notice and get back to the board on that for Tuesday and get that out to the public as quickly as possible. I know that if it needs to be done quickly, then we can make that a requirement of the request for a proposal and just move the date where we need to and put the resources to accomplish that task.
My name is Bill Charlesworth. I'm a 13-year Los Osos resident. So I do understand that this audit will incorporate alternative proposals and a cost comparison step versus, you know, the current system. Is that correct?
Right now we're just taking suggestions. It's totally open.
Since you need to act in an expeditious manner, I would suggest you direct staff to get some quick ballpark figures so you can make some intelligent decisions in the coming weeks. As I said, I've had a background in contract administration. I put some ballpark figures here for you. I've compared the current project versus some reasonable scenarios and some worst-case scenarios with an alternative project. First of all, I wanted to talk about the bottom, though, how the loss of a state loan will affect residents' costs. And I've just used $90 million as an example. 2.5% with the state loan over 30 years versus 6.5%, say, bond financed. And if you look down in red, you come up with an increase in costs of 60% for the same amount financed, $90 million. How much would you have to pay at 6.5% to get back to those original payments? It basically, on the $90 million, you'd have to save $35 million off the $90 million in order to compensate for the loss of the state loan. So when I say the state loan could be financially disastrous to lose, it really is. I hope you direct staff to do something comparable to this. This is ballpark figures, but you need to do this and compare to see what you're doing. Just reasonable scenario, I came up with $235 million for reasonable cost for an alternative system as some of these things happen. Worst case scenario, you're up above $400 million. And that's, worst case scenario can happen. It happened over the last 7 years, so it's truly something that could occur. I also wanted to address some of the concerns earlier about economic cleansing and big...
Not everybody who was for the past project is a developer. Not everybody is in it for money. Not everybody's in it for any reason that I would consider not a good reason. Some people legitimately think it's in their was in their best interest to have such a project, and I appreciate that. I think it's a minority who's misled by the people who have the money, who have an agenda. But I want to put that out. Also, the last gentleman talked about the grants and losing that. There are loans available that will, when we talk about the affordability studies, hopefully we'll be able to get loans rather than the grants is where we should have gone to start with. Thank you.
Next, anybody else? Yes, please come up.
I, Pat Renshaw, Los Osos. I think you really have to have all of the figures in front of you before you can start seeing where you have your inroads to move forward on this. A lot of money's been spent already, but you just really need to look at the figures. And I think, you know, a good auditor, and I would request that we keep the auditor that you're suggesting, somebody that you already have communication and interaction with, so that they can look at all the numbers and come up with what you need to do. I think there's a lot of new things out there. You know, the climate has changed from when they first started with the old CSD board. There's probably a lot of information that's out there that hasn't been researched because I think they had one thing in mind and just kept along those roads. And maybe there's grants and different financial opportunities that were just overlooked because it didn't fit in with their plan. So a new plan, new avenues. So I just encourage you all to just move forward and keep going. Let this stuff that's happened in the past be in the past, and let's move forward and get a good sewer system that everybody can agree to enjoy, I guess. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Payne.
Good evening, I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Madam President, I believe this is an item that was agendized several times in December, January, March. I don't know how many months it was brought forward and never managed to make it to discussion. So I'd like the public to know that Lisa and Julie asked for this audit some time ago, but the old board refused to. So thank you.
Mr. Sparks?
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. I think what we all want to know is, the questions are, you know, where was the money spent? And to me particularly, it's before the assessment and after the assessment. And I have a cost savings proposal for you here tonight. Do not do an outside audit. You have this guy right over there that should know all the numbers. I believe he knows all the numbers. I believe you know he knows all the numbers. And so you're paying him. Have him give you the numbers, and if you don't trust his numbers, then have an audit. We're paying him. We don't need to spend any more money. Let's assign Bruce to give you the numbers, break it down. You have a general manager doing general manager services. It won't cost you a dime because you're paying him.
Alternate systems. I'm not clear. It seems like there's a past thing and a future thing.
Yeah, we've talked about both tonight.
Okay, so it's both are on the table. So I, per the last speaker, I would like the new gentleman to do the audit, because I don't trust Bruce on some figures that we got about Stepstag collection systems and things like that. So I would like an independent auditor. Thank you.
Next, come on up, Ms. Hedges. Anybody else like to speak? Could you come up towards the front so we could, if anyone else would like to speak on the audit, move a little bit towards the front.
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. First of all, I want to thank everybody on the board. I think you're doing a wonderful job and moving as quickly as possible. Also, I agree with the last speaker, because we really don't know. There's a recall on the other side again to keep this plant in the same place. So we don't know. You know, it's nothing against Mr. Buell. It's just that I believe we need an audit. Also, I don't know why we haven't done a water conservation thing for, we should be doing that. Everybody doesn't have to be watering their lawns every day. Everybody does not have to be washing their cars. I've lived here long enough to see where sometimes one side of the street could water and the other side couldn't. And I really do believe that we need to start something like that to conserve just ourselves, even if it's just a little. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I looked at the facilities report and the HCP and the EIR and all these other things. And what I look at is not specifically data, but how it's written. And you can tell who's had their hands on these reports by the wording. And I found it in every report. Seems like the same couple of hands has done some cut and paste. And I've even found huge errors in repeated lines. I've even found where they tried to say something three different ways to convince you of something, the severity of the Broderson site's liquefaction. They try to get that down to where there is no severity. And I don't know how they did that, because looking at the plan, it's kind of convoluted. The real data isn't really there. So yeah, I would have some kind of look at those plans again. I put everything on my computer. And I'm trying to cross-reference and see exactly where and how the wording gets changed, so somebody up the line in higher authority will be convinced it's okay. And so, yeah, have a good look at those, and I'll make some notes and send them forward like I have been. Thank you.
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. One of the things that becomes very clear when you end up in political dogfights and World War III and so forth is that ultimately when the dust settles, what you have to end up with is that appearance is reality. and one of the critical things in establishing trust, but that really don't have, it's not, will not end up a kind of chicken coop and foxes deal. And it like, it's not, I'm casting no aspersions, but you're dealing with illusion being reality, and sometimes that can be very critical.
Yes. Would anyone else like to speak?
My name is Leonard. I live in Los Osos. What puzzled me is this. About this, I agree that we should have ordered it, and anybody that violates any law should be in jail, period. Another thing, too, is what amazed me is why did the contractors order all this millions of dollars right there in South Bay Boulevard? Why? There's millions of dollars there. They knew that there was an election coming. This is the guy right there. I pointed right here. He's the guy who's responsible for what he did over here. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
My name is Peter Brewer, and I just want to remind you guys that the EPA has a website, and there are two documents on there. One is how to manage waste treatment, which probably you should read. It's long, but it's based on experiences of cities such as Austin, Texas, doing decentralized waste management to save money and do a better job of treating polluted water. If you look at the management document, and then there's also an implementation document, I think those would be useful. They're PDF files. You could print them. I would use those, since it sounds like this is more not just an audit in terms of money, but also in terms of technology used and decisions made, and I think that document might be useful. Thank you.
If anyone else would like to speak, come on up towards the front. We're about to wrap it up.
I hate to correct Bo, but I think he meant go after grants before loans. And if you get enough grants, maybe there's a way of getting a different loan, but we can talk about that at a later time. I know you need speed in this process, and I know you're trying to get to some numbers, but it has to be independent. It's the only way this community is going to feel comfortable when it comes back. I also have a little concern whether it's going to be totally quantitative or if it's going to include qualitative analysis. The second will take longer, but I think it may give you some information that may serve the district down the road in a lot of areas. I'll leave it at that at this point.
I'm going to wrap up public comment for this item and bring it back to the board for discussion. Would anyone on the board like to ask questions? Mr. Buell?
Well, Madam President, first of all, I'm not an auditor, and I don't recommend you use my time for that purpose. But I would like to give the board some sense as to what is available to the community. First of all, this district warrant is posted to a fund. Fund 600 is the wastewater fund. So over the course of the fiscal year, what you will find is there will be 12 financial reports that are additive, so that when we get to the report for June at the end of the fiscal year, which normally comes to your board in August, you have a snapshot of the expenditures by line item for each fund. And in this case, again, we're talking about Fund 600. Those financial reports are then scrutinized by an auditor. Your district has used Crosby and Sindrich, and in particular, the CPA that's done each of your audits is Bob Crosby. Now, each year, what Mr. Crosby does is to take the postings in your financial reports and the year-to-date analysis. There are general journal entries that need to be made to make corrections. For example, Mr. Margetson's favorite topic is governance. That's done at the end of the year. So there are general journal entries that go beyond the financial reports. But those audits are published. Each year there's an analysis of what's spent by each fund. So the wastewater fund has been evaluated each year. What I have done for your board, I did it for several months this spring, is I tracked the expenditures by year, both in our financial reports, in our audit. So I've shown not only the dollars that came from the bond, but the dollars that came from grants and the dollars that came from miscellaneous revenues so that you could see the total picture. How much has come in? How much revenue has been available to this district for the wastewater project, and what has it been spent on? Now, my tracking has been very simplified because what I've tried to do is to lump it into groups: consultant cost, attorney cost, overhead. Those are big classes of line items. However, if you want to hire Wildan or any other firm, and I'd encourage you to include Bob Crosby in the mix because I think he could expedite the evaluation, you can literally go back to the base document. You can literally go back to the voucher, the supporting documentation, all the way from day one, and you can see exactly what the money was spent on, and it just takes time. I'm going to suggest to you that over the last 6 years, there's probably on the order of 2,000 warrants for the wastewater fund. Somebody needs to track those and to align them with the financial reports and then align those with the audits and break it out into a much finer detail so that you can get the total picture. It is a very doable, very logical process. And I think we've got a real good start at it. We have every voucher that this district has ever processed is available for your review.
Okay, Director Tacker, thank you for that explanation.
Bob, do I have a microphone now? Okay. That's Fund 600's legal total.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want the community to realize is that Mr. Seitz did a lot of work. Mr. Grimm did a lot of work. Ms. Zimmer Marcus did a lot of work. Harriet Steiner. We can go through a lot of attorneys who worked on different parts of the wastewater project, and not all of them were related to lawsuits brought by citizens. Much of it, and this is it's just something that's curious to me, much of it was spent on real estate negotiations, right-of-ways. Lots of properties were purchased and easements. So I'd like to see that broken out. I think the community would like to see that broken out so that there's not this blame game continually thrown at opposition to the current project. Because There have been a few lawsuits. I heard a figure tonight that was not correct. But we've got to give the gruesome details to our community. And, you know, a lot of frivolous things were purchased over the course of the project. Some of the signage that hangs on the fence. The story poles were necessary, but I think they were in excess. We can go on and on and on, but I think we need to know what we've spent, what's left of any revenue, what we might have to reimburse, and you know where can we go from right now? Where can we go from here? And do we owe? Who do we owe? And how much? So I did hear in public comment two separate things. A new wastewater project comparison, Mr. Barrow, Mr. Charlesworth, I think you were talking about comparisons with other projects. And I think what we need to know before we can even get there is where we are with relation to what we've spent and how we can put those tools to use for us, our EIR, our habitat conservation plan, incredible amount of work to get the coastal development permit. That's all good work. We need that work to build any project. I think have said all along that we weren't ready. And so the work that came from permit approval to the issuing of the permit, 1 year and 8 days, was all work that needed to be done and probably should have been done a little sooner. So it's not that the price was driven up by opposition. Those are things we needed to get done in order to have a permit to build the project. So I've said enough, but I am curious what my peers on the board have to say about how we're going to...
With what Julie's saying, I think maybe we need more than one on it. I would like to have more of an audit that shows the cost of moving forward with this project versus stopping that project, the cost associated with stopping the project, and adding that cost to a different project that's cheaper to find out what the difference is. So we can make some decisions on this project that we're in right now. We need to be making decisions quickly on what we need to do with this construction crew sitting down here. So I like what you're saying, but I think maybe we need to do something quickly. Maybe this needs to be a staff direction. I don't know if it needs to be a board action to come up with what it's costing us, what the collection system is costing us, what the treatment facility is costing us, to implement it as it is today, as proposed, or what it would cost us to stop it and then go to a different direction to see if we're making some smart decisions here. We were responsible for the taxpayers' money, and we want to be very careful with that money. It's my money, too. And so I want to be smart about that. We want to do the right thing for the community. We got to make sure that we're doing what the community wants. But we got to look at the money and then make a decision from there. And I mean, quickly, we need to get an estimate of what's going to cost for a step system and compare that to what this conventional collection system costs, compare that to the equipment and all the materials sitting out there in the yard along with a bunch of crews, and see whether or not it makes good economic sense to either implement what we've got sitting out there or to stop it and implement. Is it worth $5 million right now, waste, sunk costs, to save $30 million? That's what we got to be thinking about, and we need to get to those answers, I think, fairly quick. So I would like to see that done immediately, and if that takes a board recommendation, or we can do that. If it's just a staff action, and I'm not sure on that one, I guess I need some direction over here. And the rest of the board needs to talk about it too. But and then maybe after we get to that point, let's do the forensic audit and see where all the numbers are.
Director Sennett.
Thank you. I agree with John that we need a real snapshot picture of where we are right now. The forensic audit, that'll be there. Like Bruce said, the warrants are there. The process used to manage and show where the money went, and come up with this end of year financing totals, you know, and they've had audits all along. So I think the day-to-day things are fairly good, and I have confidence in them. Where the money was spent for what, things like that, the way it was spent, those are things that will
maybe room to save money on in a new direction. We know we want to move the plant. those costs, once we know what we've spent and what can be reapplied in another direction, will assist us in moving in that direction. But right now, we need to know that picture in time, where we're at right now. It seems like we can get that with staff that we have now. I don't know why we'd need to bring in somebody from the outside to do that. Wildan has financial component to their staff working together with Mr. Buell. I don't know why we can't accomplish that snapshot.
Does staff have anything to add at this time? Any recommendations or comments after hearing from the public and us?
Yes, Madam President. There's actually two analyses in front of us. One is the forensic audit, which is on the agenda this evening. And certainly there's a number of ways to approach that with how we distribute the RFP, and certainly Wildan's capable of bringing that through Muni and bringing the focus that's required to look at expenditures and revenues. With that said, the second item that's been brought up in public comment is that the financial analysis has been brought up, in our proposal and as discussions even in the public, to basically evaluate alternatives both technologically and from the cost-benefit perspective, which is always part of an engineering evaluation. I'm not sure if the financial analysis that we're talking about as part of the alternatives evaluation is part of this audit agenda. However, we can bring back a scope to the board on that part, and we can have Wildan put that together so that the public can hear and see that scope of services for that item. However, if we focus on the audit portion of the question, we can get that started right away. And Will Dan certainly can provide those services and provide a scope of services that would be reviewed by the board or for consideration. The other alternative I see also is to do a truncated RFP and to go out to other firms, if that's what the board desires to do, and have them. Not that we would put out an RFP, but we would. It would be very brief, and that they would submit proposals based upon their expertise in that area and explain their scope of services. So that would shorten the process significantly if that's what the board desires to do. So I see those two alternatives would be able to meet your time requirements. There is a sense of urgency to get this done, and time is of the essence.
Director Sennett.
Yes, I'd like to ask, Dan, can you also do an audit of the work in progress from our resident engineers and oversight engineers and coordinate that with them?
In other words, what Montgomery Watts and Harza has spent to date, or working with them to look at the project?
Look at the project, the work in progress, and the amount that we'd be contractually obligated.
Discussions just happened before this meeting. The answer is yes, and they can provide that. And then there's also, along a similar note, is all the consultants involved in the current construction efforts as well. So, yes, all of those factors would go into it.
Vice President.
Thank you. There's a lot of information. I guess I'm looking at an engineering analysis. I guess what I'm looking for more than an audit. I guess it's a matter of semantics, but it's I would like to see more of a cost analysis of spent monies and versus a quick engineering preliminary cost estimate of our alternative collection system. More so than I think the treatment facility. That's what I'm looking for, because we've got to react to the current situation, and we've got to be we're in a reaction mode. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. We've been in a reaction mode since we've been seated to try to do the best and smartest efficient thing that we can with the situation that we have. So that's what I'm asking for. I'm not sure if the rest of the board's with me on this, but I would really like to see, again, is more of an engineering analysis done quickly, and I mean by next week, mid-next week, if we can, to see how much construction has cost us to date. And that would be a cost, and we have to compare that to maybe an alternative collection system as STEP that we feel is much cheaper. But does it make sense to go ahead and stop what's going on today to incorporate STEP if we've got a lot of money involved today? So we need to know that, and that's what I would like to know. And then we can make a decision based on numbers and facts.
Director Tacker? No. Excuse me. Did you have something to add?
Where does Measure B play in all of this?
Until the Court of Appeal issues a ruling, it's my opinion that we regard Measure B as the law of the district.
Can I ask a question to council, too, on Measure B? I've heard some comments last time we were here, a couple of days ago, at the last meeting, about whether or not that applies to the collection system or not. And I read it fairly quickly, but what I read as a definition was wastewater facilities or wastewater treatment facilities. So wastewater facilities includes everything, in my opinion, and the treatment facility is the treatment plant itself. So my reading on that is it's defined as relocating the treatment facility, not the wastewater facilities, which I would think that means the collection is not part of that.
Well, you're raising an issue of basically statutory. The ballot arguments I can't, and without the measure in front of me, I can't give you any more of an interpretive analysis of other than that. But and those of you that are familiar with the ballot arguments that were propounded by the proponents of Measure B could probably be in a better position to answer that. But it's my understanding that those arguments were focused on this side across the street.
Director Tacker.
I'm not an engineer, but I do believe that the collection system and the treatment facility are married in that what gets to the plant has to be treated in a different way, one collection over the other. So I think they are, one will dictate the other's method of treatment. So I believe both systems stop until it's put before the voters. But again, maybe that's the judge. But
well, and unfortunately, like I said, I don't have any of the additional extraneous materials that would help in interpreting that for me, so I'm operating behind the veil of ignorance.
Director Cesania.
We still need the numbers right now of what we've spent. So we move ahead with that, and the court date will come soon, and we'll see where we're at then. But I think we should move ahead with gathering the information.
Director Sennett.
Well, I think that we look at Section 2, a definition of a wastewater treatment facility. And the wastewater treatment facility, I think the intent of this measure is about location and approval of cost. So that when it says exclusive of collection system, it's just saying that's what we mean by a wastewater treatment facility. Now, the collection system, I agree with Julie that it is an integral part of the system as a whole. But I believe that the term exclusive of collection systems was in reference to defining wastewater treatment facility for the purpose of locating it away from certain community features. So that brings me to a concern that if we are locating the treatment facility out of town per Measure B, that there should be very little deliberation about the auditing of what's gone on so far in order to make a decision to terminate the contract for the wastewater treatment plant portion of the project. So within the scope of that audit, maybe we can at least focus on the collection systems. And regarding the wastewater treatment plant, act more directly on that, exclusive of, you know, knowing full well that the consequences are going to be what they are.
I have a question for Mr. Miller. Do you have anything to add to this discussion, being our district engineer?
Yes, ma'am. Of such an evaluation, first is the ability to secure the additional bonds that were authorized by the voters back in 01, whether those dollars are available to you, the potential current value of property, and then in the event of a termination of a contract, the amount that the state may or may not be willing to reimburse for, you know, termination costs to the contractor. I think that those are three important elements that would need to be part of that analysis. And then I think you could get a good picture. And obviously it's always tough when you have time working against you and need the information at the same time. And so
I'd like to wrap up the discussion, if that's okay, to go on to the next item. And I would like to see if we can just ask for direction from staff to come up with a scope. And not maybe go out to an RFP. That's what I'm thinking, because time is of the essence, and use staff resources. We do have Mr. Miller as well to help us. We do have Montgomery Watson to help us. And weighing the citizens' interests in neutrality and independence as well. I think that's important, and I'd like to direct Mr. Buskey to get a handle on that and come back with at least a description. But start collecting numbers right now. Let's gather what we have and keep the independence in it. Do you have any comments?
Madam President and members of the board, we have two items that I hear right now, and that is, one is the financial analysis and one is the audit. Did you want us to do separate scopes for both? Because we can do that and then bring that back so that it's done here at a board meeting and we can consider that. And we can expedite that process. So it's an audit and also the financial analysis of the impacts of the shutdown versus going on, including all aspects of bonding, revenues, funding, and expenditures.
That's great. How about from the rest of the board? Do you have anything to add? Do we need a board action for this, or can we just have a direction, and do we need to make a motion?
Yeah, you can go ahead and make a motion.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion based on what Mr. Blesky said, the two aspects, create a scope of work for the two aspects, both a financial audit and a cost analysis of the project. And would you like to add to my motion?
I guess I would ask to create a scope of work to bring back for our... I would rather just go. I mean, let's get it on. we got to go to work.
Maybe just add to that. If you could just start working on it and bring back what you have, and if we need more, you know, and then recommend what more you need, can we do that?
The attorney says we can do that. But no, feasibility-wise, we were just confused about some of the things, and that's what our sidebar was. But engineering-wise and audit-wise, yeah, we can get started right away. That would be no problem.
Okay, I amend my motion to say let's go. However you want to do it, just start work immediately on these items, and come back with a report as soon as possible.
On the project audit, okay, I'll second that.
So, Mrs. Vega, would you try to read that motion back to us? Sorry.
I don't know if I can do that, but I'll try. Okay, and you can fill in the blanks here. The motion is for staff to begin working on getting figures together for a project analysis and financial audit with priority given to first, I believe it was called a snapshot audit. Is that what you wanted?
That was just an adjective.
Well,
a figure of speech. Maybe
how would
rather
you like
than
to
that,
hear it?
A real-time analysis,
real-time analysis. Okay.
Of the current project and the status of finances and expenditures and bills, what we owe.
Okay, real-time analysis, priority being real-time analysis of the current project and status of finances.
Okay, let's take it back to the board, please. We have a motion on the floor.
Is this
and it's been seconded. Okay. And Mr. Buskey?
I just would like to address an issue that was brought up from the audience. What's going through our head right now is we need to know the impacts of this shutdown. You know, is the project going to stop? This has been requested by the contractors. They need some clarification, and this is where this arises from. What this will be is a combined effort, probably using our district engineer, Wallace. I can certainly tell you that we're going to be entertaining input from Montgomery Watts and Harza because they are our construction manager and they have critical data. And working with them, I believe that with our insight too, we can accomplish this objectively based upon data from all of the people who have been involved, because that's the quickest way we can get this analysis out. And it's essentially to assess the impacts of our current suspension. That's what we're looking to do. So is it technically a sole source? I don't know the answer to that one, but I can tell you right now there will be others involved because we need them.
Okay, could we have a vote, please?
Yes. Director Tacker?
With an emphasis on independent. Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
Director Sassena.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your comments and input. And we'll be seeing this again as soon as possible. The next item for tonight is going to go pretty quickly, because all we're saying is that we want to reestablish our citizen committees. We have a bylaw that is adopted about citizen committees, and we may want to change that bylaw eventually, but to get this rolling, we want to just get it going tonight. And the way the bylaw reads is we have four or five committees, so to get going right now, we just want to use the bylaw that we have, and then we can amend it at a later date. So that's where we're coming from for this item. Any board comments at this time, or open it up to public comment? Director Sennett, did you have something?
Yeah, I'm sure we have a packet of existing applications. So
yes, we have existing applications, but my proposal is to start fresh. And I forgot one part to mention. As president, I made some suggestions, and I hope the board is willing to take these liaison positions, but I've asked Director Tacker to do emergency services, Director Fouché I'm asking now, as a suggestion, Director Fouché to do wastewater. I was doing water, but there's talk about combining the two. And Director Sassenia to do environmental, and Director Sennett to do finance. So that was my opening proposal for discussion. So I'm opening it up to public comment, and please step up. Oh, Mr. Sennett? Does anyone like to speak on this item? We're just opening up the process and want to get it going.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. What does the bylaw say now as far as the...
Are we on?
Yeah. What does the bylaw say now as far as requirement in the time frame to put applications out and make the choice?
Actually, it does, if I might, Madam President. The current bylaw says that the board annually, by the end of the year, will circulate a notice that
committee openings will be filled at the February board meeting. Now, we haven't done that. As your board knows, you went through a protracted period of evaluating options. At your February meeting, you did agree on a set of guidelines, and you confirmed those on March 3rd. But you haven't, you literally have not had committees since that date.
So therefore, I would suggest that you probably put a two-week window for applications so that perhaps we can get the committees appointed by the end of the month. If that's, because we've blown all of that as far as the bylaws are concerned, so I would suggest that's where we head. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak?
Lindy Owen, Lasessis. I think having been on, attended many of the committee's meetings, I think the question would be whether you keep the ones that existed when they stopped in July or if we start a whole new application process. I kind of would like to see a whole new application process with people encouraged to reapply if they still want to be on those committees. And then I would think that you could get the committees underway and you're going to then break down into subcommittees because the work is urgent right now. And I don't think trying to reinvent how we do committees and adding new ones makes much sense. I think just play it by ear and put subcommittees together just as wastewater had a subcommittee for septic management. I think that that would work real efficiently. And as things come up, then committees would
be appointed. I don't remember if that was ever finally implemented or not, and how does that affect this process? That'd be my two questions. Thank you.
Yes, your bylaws do not preclude multiple recruitments, and in fact, if you look at the pool of applicants, and I was grateful that you did have applicants previously, but you didn't have enough to fulfill the for each committee the number of regular members and alternates. So. In any case, you would want to do additional recruitment. Just to briefly summarize where your board was in February and what was adopted in March, what is currently the understanding of staff of the board's intent is that there would be five standing advisory committees that President Schicker announced, that each committee would have five regular members and each director would appoint one of those regular members. Then there would be two alternate members that would be nominated at large and selected amongst the board as a whole. Then there would be one ex officio liaison for the board, and I believe that's what President Schicker was talking earlier when she was announcing her appointments. So the structure, each committee would have five regular voting members, two alternates that could vote if a standing committee member was not present, and then one ex officio non-voting board member who would serve as liaison to the board.
Yes, sir.
Leonard Los Osos, I think you should explain to the general public how to apply for a committee. I am ignorant of that. I would like to be on a committee and tell me what I should do. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, this lovely lady in the front row is Jan Harper, and she spends a lot of her time in the front office of the district. Jan happens to have applications. And anybody that requests an application, you can call 528-9370. Jan will be happy to mail it to you. She'd be happy to email it to you. She'd be happy to hand it to you if you walk in the office. They're available, and you'll find that she's very nice to talk to.
Okay. Is that good? Yes. And do you have some with you tonight, applications? Oh, okay. Good. So into the office at the main desk. And we'll bring some to the next meetings. We'll have them here at our next meetings, too.
David Dugan, Los Osos. I'm interested in actually creating a new committee, which is Information Media and Information Technology Committee, which would basically be the conduit between website and our television station, the Channel 20, to keep tabs on not only the information that's going on there, but to make sure that nobody electioneers using those two resources again. I believe there should be a committee with some kind of liaison between AGP, and I think that we should really develop some kind of statement of operational procedure, something that will tell us who handles the television station. But this information officer thing's got that's got to end. I don't think we need to hire one certain person to do that anymore. I think we can save money by not having to do that. That's all. Thanks.
Hello, Al Barrow, and I believe that, you know, we need more people on committee than what we've had in the past. I think we need a better facility for the committees to meet in. I think that should be a big priority. I think the committees should be looked at as resources for the board, and I think resources should come to the committee before they go to the board so they can filter out things. And I also think that the restrictions of how many people are appointed by each board member, to me, is ridiculous. I think you should be able to appoint people to committees that you want without restriction. I also think that committee members should agree in concept with what the board's goals are. I don't think people should be on a committee if they don't support the goals of the board. That's important. I think one committee member should report to the board the work that the committee has done. I think that should be a regular input kind of thing. And I think we need a lot more committees, different kind of committees, you know, to deal with what we want to do as a future, I mean, as a community. This goes beyond the wastewater and the water and the fire. You know, there's swimming pool, there's park and recs, there's garden. There's all kinds of things that Lindy Owens has been very creative about, Julie Tacker. And I think we need more committees than just those five. And I think you ought to be a little looser in your structure. I think the other board was very controlling. I don't think we don't need that. You know, if somebody can come in and contribute, let them. So I ask you that you now set up an opportunity to create more committees, and that you create, you know, maybe seven regular members and three standby members. And the idea that I don't know if a board member has to be there, or if the committee chair can report, or if the district manager team has to be on each one of these, how that's going to play out. Can you talk about that a little bit in your discussions? Thank you.
I think just briefly for Mr. Barrow, we kind of talked about wanting to get the committees going as fast as possible, so we're going to use the bylaw structure that we have and adapt. But I have the ability as president in the bylaws to appoint ad hoc committees, and that's something I'm looking at closer, and that's going to be happening.
It's Paul Dugan of Los Osos. Really, what I have is just more of a question. I have a couple of questions, just two of them. One of them is it an actual truth that the CDF fire is going to come in and take over the California? That's been rumored around. I'm just curious about that. Also, you know,
questions for committees, and is that what you meant when you were bringing them up? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And outside county control that controls these things.
Okay. Director Cicina? Oh, no. Oh, Director Tacker?
Sorry.
That's all right. I forgot. As far as potholes go, once a month, the Los Osos Community Advisory Council has a liaison from the county public works who comes to the meeting, and you can address your traffic circulation, whether it's a pothole or burnt out stoplight or something, to her. So that's once a month for everyone's knowledge to talk about roads I would suggest you go to the LOCAC meetings on the fourth Thursday of the month in the community center. And as far as CDF, CDF is working very well for Los Osos right here, right now, and I don't know what the state situation is, but if you want to know more, I'll look into it.
Director Sennett, and next speaker can come on up.
I just wanted to add that although most of your board is are Caltrans employees, we don't operate on these roads. They're all county-owned.
Really? Hi, Lisa Cooper again. I just had a quick question, a comment. I wanted to know about, I know you're just trying to form real basic committees right now just to get things up and rolling, and I was wondering about the environmental committee, what that covered. Does it cover, say, the Tri-W site? Does it? I'm not sure what's in that.
I think that scope remains to be seen. Things are changing.
Oh, okay.
Director Cetania?
I would imagine any time environmental review, CEQA review, needs to be undertaken for a district project, that would be steered through that committee. Habitat conservation plan seemed to be a big issue with that committee. Those sorts of environmental law requirements would be part of that committee's purview. That's my guess.
And that's actually the adopted bylaw for that committee, exactly what you just described. However, you did add parks and recreation. You combine what used to be the Parks and Recreation Committee and the Environmental Review Committee into one committee called Environmental Committee, and you have adopted a bylaw for that committee.
Oh, that's good, because I was going to bring up that maybe Parks and Rec could be added later because we don't seem to have much control right now of that. The other comment I want to make is that, you know, I hope that people from various, you know, have various points of views will be on the committees, because one of the reasons the committees weren't reinstated by the former board majority is because they wanted to keep people who disagree with their point of view off the committees. That was their intent on not restarting them. So I want to avoid that, too. Thank you.
Bo Cooper. I'd like to propose an ethics oversight committee. I don't think you guys are a problem, but you never know who might be, either on another committee or even on a staff, who Lord knows. So if there's such an ethics oversight committee, I'm willing to participate in that. Thank you.
Richard Margetson, when you do reestablish them, let's try to be time friendly with when they meet, so as many people in the community can attend. And as far as I wish there was a way that we could advertise them a little more or get it out to the public, on Channel 20. You know, more frequently, always updated. It seemed like there were times when what was showing on the channel was the meeting that had already been attended. And then my last question is, what did Chuck have to bribe you, Lisa, not to get the finance chair? Thank you.
Steve gets Richard.
Hi, Christina Bennett, Los Osos. I had a couple things. One, I was just wanted to say I've been told and just wanted to confirm that the public is welcome to come to all committee meetings, even if they're regular members or not. And then the other thing was the idea that there would be these committees listed in the Bay News on a regular basis and agenda items, so just having people updated on upcoming things that they can participate in. And then the last thing was that I, too, think that their diverse viewpoints should be welcome on the committees, and also would anticipate that there might be conflict or disagreement. So I'm wondering about maybe having like a facilitator or mediator that could be available as needed or serve on each committee, or I don't know, you know, some way of facilitating through conflict or when committees get stuck. Thank you.
Mr. Perlman.
Alan Perlman, ditto to everybody. Basically, yes. Yeah, and the fleas have fleas upon them, and so ad infinitum. I think something like a meta committee or a committee that can coordinate between the board and the other committees and revisit committees, because committees are a double-edged sword. Obviously, the previous board didn't like them because they didn't like what was going on in them. And, of course, you can't close off members who are not necessarily agreeing with you. So possibly you guys can revisit this, get started on the committees, because that's a promise, get them going, but really look at how to break them down and let the committees do this again. Let the committees do this specific job for you. So that's why I'm recommending possibly a meta committee or a meeting of all the members so far in the committees, so that the committees can get together, get moving towards the goals of both the initiative, assuming it still holds, and you guys, but also respect your time. So in order to respect your time, I hope that works.
Would anyone else like to speak? I'm going to wrap it up for committees. I'm sorry.
Can I ask staff one question before my comments, please? I'd like to know, President Schicker, can staff provide an estimate of, just a ballpark estimate of what we're burning each day that we have the stop work order in effect? It's related to the committees.
Pardon me?
Can staff provide an estimate of what we're burning each day by keeping the crews idle? Because it's related to the committees.
That's correct. We're working on it right now. We had our first meeting this evening.
Right. Could I ask, is there any way we can get district engineer, any estimate, 100,000, 200,000?
Well, I could speak for that because I was there. We don't have a ballpark figure to give you yet, and we're not going to throw one out.
Okay.
We don't know.
Well, let me suggest this. If it's 200,000 a day each week, we're burning 500,000 that I believe the district is liable. And Mr. Miller earlier alluded to the fact of seeing how much is in the assessment funds. That would be a liability for the district, not the assessment district, because this is this Measure B. No, it's related to the committees, because Measure B is a district decision. Measure B is a district decision. Stop work orders are a district decision. And I would suggest for all committee members, if you burn that money with that liability, with an administrative budget of $900,000 a year, you're not going to have a district for committee members to serve. So committee members are going to have to go to the county. It's just a real consideration. We like committees. I'd like a district where we have committees. And I'm really concerned that in the action we're taking, we won't be able to have committees at all. Thank you.
And Mr. Sparks, we've been on the job about less than a week, so please be patient. We're trying as hard as we can. Okay, does anyone else have any comments on committees? We're going to wrap it up and entertain the motion. I guess we need a motion to do this. Can I have a motion from somebody just to?
I'll move that we.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I blew it. What did you want, Director Sissigna?
I'd just like to know the process we're looking at. I mean, we heard recommendations of have them established within 2 weeks. It seems like we need a little bit of notification to get people into. to sign up for the committees. How long are we looking at keeping that open before we start making appointments, that kind of thing?
Good question.
I mean, I think we need at least 3 weeks of good, solid advertising out to the community to attract people.
Yes. Are there any other director comments? Director Tacker?
I was hoping that we would give a week for notification. They have 2 weeks to return, and then we get it on our agenda within a month. So 1 month, so the second meeting in November. Is that Is that about a month? And then we'll have schedule. Mr. I don't know. Well, the new schedules will come from probably the directors as far as when those committees will meet, what our availability is.
Director Sennett, do you have something to add? No? Does staff have anything to add at this time? Any recommendations to add at this time about committees?
None at this time. I think that the month will, it'll be a little tight, but we should be able to make it happen. What I'm concerned about is just making sure that you have adequate time to review the candidates and then to get that staff report in a format that is clear, concise, and is previously published. So, it, you know, 4 weeks is tight. Another week may help. But it's just the amount of burden on staff right now with our administrative, and we just want to make sure we get this thing clear, fair, and out there.
Okay. Do the directors have any more comments on this? Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I move that we reinstate committees and do whatever's necessary to see that through.
Do we have a second? Okay. I just wanted to amend it to say that we allow for a month-long process. Use the application
1 month
forms
application
that we
period?
Still have. Pardon me?
A one-month application period?
Yes, including okay. advertisement and application and review, coming back for a staff report on Tuesday, November 8th, which is a meeting we're going to be planning. And we'll be making the discussion and appointments that evening. Using the website, using the list mail, using the press to advertise for committee appointments.
So what we're saying is that we'll start accepting applications immediately with the intent of, on the 8th, appointing people to the committees. So you've got to get your application in by
the first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or October 31st. Yes. Okay.
And you have to wear a Halloween costume.
Happy Halloween.
Madam President, can staff also send notices to people who previously applied?
Okay. That's the motion. Would you like to read it?
Yes, we're going to do application, re-advertising, and recruitment for applications. There would be, we talked about advertising heavily through website, Channel 20. I was thinking press releases. That's free if they put it in. Certainly posting it in the office. Oh, and having our community list mail do it all, which usually is what happens when we put something on our website or we do a press release. It goes out there, too. And then we would have applications due October 31st, and we would have it on a board agenda November 8th. Is that what I heard?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And Mr. Director, Vice President Fouché seconded it, and so could we have the vote?
Okay. I had a Tacker Schicker. It was Tacker Fouché?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just amended it.
Okay. All right. Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Cicina?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. The third item on the agenda tonight was the affordability study. We have an RFP that's already been produced. We have approximately 15 minutes before our closed session. And what is the pleasure of the board?
An RFP has already been produced?
Yes, the RFP has been produced. Would staff like to describe it in general terms?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. This is an affordability study and an economic impact study. It's both. The RFP was actually produced, I think, roughly 6 months ago, and it currently lists myself and Mark Merritt, and I would recommend that you change it to say Dan Bleski, and the dates in the RFP are wrong. But I believe what's in the RFP is the fundamentals. We worked with the U.S. Department of Agriculture
for their urban home program. We worked with the county, Tony Navarro, on the community development block grant. We used the model, USDA model, and got the county blessing that they felt that the if the study was done as proposed in the RFP, that it would provide valuable information for the community development block grant application. Now, also, if and when you get to your consent calendar, probably next Tuesday, there's the current application that will need to be submitted before October 31st. But my sense, talking to Tony, is that the competition is an annual thing with the county, and to the extent you can get this done in the next several months, it would be helpful for the Board of Supervisors when they're looking at the CDBG grants next spring.
Well, Vice President?
Thank you. Timeline, Bruce, for all of that?
Well, the RFP is basically done. As I indicated, there needs to be some name and date substitutions.
Yeah.
But we can mail it out. We have a list of consulting firms that we've contacted that have expressed an interest. I think we could get it back within 3 to 4 weeks, bring it back to you in November. I need to warn the board it's going to be expensive. This is not a cheap study to do. But we believe we can get two or three proposals to present to you, and that would give you an opportunity to decide if you feel good about spending that money.
And how long do you think the study itself
will take? We've been told it'll take 4 to 5 months to put the study together.
Yeah, because that's going to be important coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But, you know, what the protocol, the USDA protocol, is to literally contact every household in the community. You need to make a genuine effort to talk to everybody and to get as much information as you can. They don't expect you to get response from everybody, but they do expect you to contact a lot of households. So you're talking about basically 6,000 phone calls here.
Well, we've got some discussions coming up in December with the Water Board, and mm-hmm. I was hoping to have some of this information by then.
I think you could do it in phases, and that may be something you may want to consider, because I think if you were to bring a consultant aboard in November, I think they could give you some first-order approximations without doing the survey report, and then you could finish the study and satisfy the USDA protocol as time allows.
Do we need to include that in the RFP?
Yes, I would propose to insert that phasing in the RFP.
Okay.
Director Tegger? No? Anybody else? Or can we have public comment, please?
Al Barrow. I'm not comfortable with Mr. Buell's request for proposal that was created under a previous board. Number two, the idea that affordability is based on equity is just unrealistic. The people who bought their homes here 30 years ago couldn't buy them now. I'd like to know more about this affordability study. I think there's the percentage of income that people are spending for their housing costs should limit their ability to afford to a certain degree. If a family's having to pay 60% of their income for their housing costs and they can't afford insurance and they can't afford private school like some people or various other things, if they're living on limited budgets, I think that should be a consideration. I really have never liked the philosophy of the previous board and the district manager regarding affordability. And he very much supported Mr. Gustafson's concept that people should use reverse mortgages, that equity is a consideration. It's just not affordable. That is spinning it. That's why we ended up with the $200 a month plus project, because of that philosophy. So I would ask the board to, I don't know, have you all read this request for proposal? Have you all seen it? And does it look like it's a good
I was just going to add, it is based on median household income.
Exactly.
It is not based on the old ways that we were dealing with things, so I'm encouraged by it myself.
You are? Okay.
Yes, but there were supposed to be some on the table tonight. Did we not get those to the...
Yeah.
People must have taken them. We made 100 copies. Did you see it? It's in the book, too, if you want to take a
look. Well, I trust your judgment.
Okay, thank you. I want to get it going.
Yes.
Director Sazanian, anything else?
That is correct.
Anybody else like to speak on this, please?
You lift your hearing aid here, Al. I'm interested in the phasing. I know that one thing that we could probably get right now is the census data, but it's all obviously 5 years old, and so there's got to be some empirical data, something that you can determine what the percentages are as far as the increases have been since that census has been done, to just kind of get yourself at least a taste of where we are today as far as median income. I agree it should have been done before. I find it curious. Mr. Sparks is asking about how much it's costing us per day, and he's the one that supported these guys to do what we've got today. So we need to do all this stuff as quickly as possible, obviously, to see where we're going to be heading with everything. But I guess the staff or someone should be able to determine how much information we can get right away in the first phase, and if it can be just census data to at least give the board an indication of what's affordable so that we can convey that to the water board. Thanks.
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I want to question... I didn't really get a chance to look this over very carefully, but looking at it right now, I would like to ask Mr. Buell, is this his format?
This is the USDA protocol. We basically took the USDA protocol, which they require for their loans and grants, and dropped it into the RFP.
My question is... I would like to look into maybe speaking with them and to find out if there are other methods of doing a economic affordability study. One thing you might do is take the census data and take everyone outside the prohibition zone and, you know, do the expensive polling with them to find out and then subtract what's inside. That data is, 4 years? It was done in 2000, so it's 5 years old now. I just question whether we didn't find the most expensive way to do an affordability study, because that's the way things have been done in the past. And I would suggest that you look at possibly talking to EPA and anyone. Maybe Small Flows Clearinghouse could help us. We had Graham Knowles suggesting ways for small communities to help themselves with affordability issues, and possibly speaking with them, we might get some other information than what I'm holding in my hand. Thank you.
James T. Catch, two questions. EPA or USDA criteria, does that qualify us for grant loans from other agencies such as State Water Board or Water Resources, wherever we could get grant funding? In other words, does it meet their criteria for affordability? I know the Water Board is interested in affordability too. I wonder if it satisfies their criteria, so make sure we're getting a product that is usable elsewhere. And then I heard a mention of 6,000 homes. Is this affordability for everybody in the community, community-wide, or is it just for the people that will be paying for the sewer in the prohibition zone? Because it seems like to me that's always been the argument, that the prohibition zone is the lower income and less valued properties, and so how applicable would a affordability study be that encompasses the entire community? How would that reflect what's actually happening in the prohibition zone? So I don't know if you need to keep that separate or as a separate category, a subset. Thank you.
Madam President, it is the intent to sort out the prohibition zone from the balance of the community. And in regard to other programs and grants, What this study would do would give you the information that is required for those programs and grants, but there's no guarantee that you would be eligible. So generally, this community exceeds the income thresholds. What we've never been able to identify is what is the income profile for those folks in the prohibition zone, and that's what this study would tell us. But again, that's not a guarantee that you will be eligible.
A question from Vice President.
Are we talking inside the URL?
Well, the district boundary, you look at the district boundary, which is essentially the urban reserve line,
right,
and then the prohibition zone. So you have the area that will be served by the wastewater system at some point, and then the total community. And I think you need to differentiate them so you understand the trends, the demographics.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. McPherson?
Yeah, I was outside talking to somebody about who was offering to go door to door and get the information that was necessary to do this. It was kind of fun talking about that. The affordability is really an important option for us. There's a couple of different ways this is done. I guess most people understand that it was done kind of the quick way. The first time you take the census data and the median household income of the community, you take a look at that, and you decide if the project is affordable. There isn't an exact number that they say if you spend this much on a project, then it's no longer affordable. But they have kind of some guidance, and that's based on the fact that they often will come up with a new regulation, and they call it like an unfunded mandate. People have heard that term. And so what happens is people say, gee, we can't afford to take arsenic out of our water, you know, even though we should, because it's going to bankrupt us. And so the important thing here is to take a look at the scope of work, and I think that this looks really good. EPA has guidance documents that you have to follow if you're going to do an alternative to the typical one that they approve. And so in doing so, what we are going to be looking at, as I understand this, and I looked at this a long time ago, is to look just at our prohibition zone. The people who are going to pay the bill, can they afford a $163 million project with over $2.5 million in operating costs each year? And so those 5,000 or so residents, households rather, would have to fill out a survey. And based on their median household income and property value, then we would be looking at if that exceeded, if the 2% threshold or 1.5% threshold was out of whack. In our regulations for the state, we're also required to have affordability as a consideration for the SRF loan. And Lisa was at the meeting when in January when we were protesting the loan and saying it wasn't affordable, and they were saying, yeah, you're getting up towards like 4%, 6%. You know, and so it was really, this says 2%, 1.5% of what your annual median household income is. And so all of that will get clearer with a presentation and perhaps a workshop, and I think that would be great. But the importance of doing this quickly is I think it helps to defend us against a fine. Because when they say, why did you stop this, one of our defense responses is going to be because it was unaffordable. And then they go back to the old one and they say, no, it wasn't. And we have to go back and say, no, based on this criteria, these people who are paying for it, it is indeed unaffordable. So I think that's why this needs to be done very, very quickly, just like the last item that you were talking about being done very, very quickly. This is very important to do quickly. Thanks. And I'll help in any way I can with this one.
Ms. Cooper.
We talk really fast so you can understand. Okay. I just do that to crack you up. Okay, Lacey Cooper. Now I can slow down. I agree with all the speakers. Yeah, they've all made good points. The idea of other protocol. What I want to bring up is, I don't know if it's official, but
when they're talking about affordability, you have to consider the state and how much things cost. And I don't know if that's in these studies, because we certainly have more expenses than Alabama, for instance. And I know, I'm pretty sure that that should be factored in, because that's very important, you know, income, output, that kind of thing. And yes, for the prohibition zone, I'm just, the reason I was a little leery of this, when Mr. Buell said he put it together, is that for the longest time he was telling us that we could afford something in the neighborhood of $400 a month, because he was factoring in all the property values of outside the prohibition zone, inside the prohibition zone. Again, I know this is based on income, but please read this carefully and make sure, you know, we're getting the true picture of what people make, and the cost of living is much greater. There should be some adjustment for that, I'm hoping. So I know it has to be done in a hurry, but be cautious, okay? We don't want another skewed thing, you know, that puts us at a disadvantage and makes us cost, you know, that looks like we can afford something ridiculous. Thank you.
Don Bearden, Prohibition Zone. First of all, I'm looking at this form and I'm thinking, somebody come and ask me how much I made and stuff, I wouldn't answer them. I'd tell them, get the hell out of here. So I don't know who's going to answer this, and if they're going to answer it truthfully. Who knows?
That's a good point. Okay, Mr. Cooper.
One of the answers to the previous gentleman is, it says here on page 4 that 75% need to answer. So there's some leeway there. The old Los Osos CSD website on the frequently asked questions said affordability is based on assessed value of the whole town. We know that that's not true, that it has to do, well, it ought to be just on the prohibition zone. I agree that the median household income is a way to go. It's always been the problem. Prices are inflated. The fact that my home is worth $1 zillion doesn't mean I can afford to live in my home, that kind of thing. So that it's all a duh from my side. Affordability study with household income is the obvious thing to do. I don't see the major problem. I don't need to see the 4 or 5 months that it needs to take. It seems that we could form an official committee to do this. Only like, what, about 5,000 households, and it just seems there's a very finite number. I mean, it's a large, but if you have enough people over a month, it seems like it's a doable thing. And I do think time is of the essence in this, because just like again McPherson said, time is of the essence in terms of protecting ourselves to show that we're moving forward, doing the right kinds of things. So thank you. It's 10 o'clock.
Anyone else like to speak quickly?
Good evening again. My name is Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. One of the big problems with this affordability study is the equity these people own, and the fact that their Prop 13 assessment is so low. This opens it up for people in the bureaucracy who can skim money off of the taxes that are collected from Schwarzenegger on down to somebody in the county who can put money taken from Los Osos to any other neighborhood in the county they want to. Our Parks and Rec's a good example of where our Parks and Rec money come from or go to. But the point being that whatever equity these people own in this prohibition zone, based on their Prop 13 or today's market value, the real thing to look at is when they bought that property, they probably did without a lot of toys that other people had in order to make the payments on it then. I know in 76 when I came here, I went to work for Cryolab. I talked them into 6.5 an hour, and when they laid me off, I went in to see what else was available, and the man there doing the interview said, well, we got somebody's looking for machinists here. It's, oh, that's where you came from. That's Cryolab's got a standing order at $5 an hour, and that was in 1976. So you don't make real big house payments. And by the way, at that time I had a variable interest loan that I'd never heard of before. It had a cap on it, 11.75%. So you can see what kind of a nightmare I was looking at. So these people may have tons of equity, but they did something right or did without something in order to have that equity. And I think they're, what would we say, spendable income should be more of an indicator of what they can afford to pay. And it was, if you're going to write for grants and beg for money, I mean, you can't say we have how many billion dollars worth of real estate here. People in Kansas aren't about to vote for us to have a lot of money out of the U.S. government, especially when the price per capita is so outrageously expensive as this proposed project we've been able to put on hold. Hopefully it'll not happen. Thank you.
Quickly, do you want to wrap this up? Anybody else want to speak? Come up close.
Thank you very much. I just forgot. There's a small community wastewater grant program put out by the State Water Resources Control Board that's based on income and size. It's under 20,000 people, which is what we have, and the affordability study will decide the income. So I want to turn this over. I give this to John Fouché.
One word, please.
I'd like to make a suggestion quickly. Yes?
No sole sourcing, please.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Cooper, how would you like this to hand this back to you? No, I'm appointing you an ad hoc committee. we need your help, everybody. We are so overwhelmed, and you can give suggestions to us, and then you're going to get angry when they don't get done, because we need you guys, even if it's on your own as volunteers, start looking up this stuff and looking into it. We need your help desperately.
Good idea.
Okay, next, does anyone else want to speak on the affordability study? Please step up.
The reason we ran into a big problem on this project here is because somebody believed that we were worth $2 billion, a cash cow of $2 billion. It's on the site. They have basically misled everybody. So I have a lot of information. I looked up on the La Quinada comparison to Los Osos, and I found out about a lot of things about Los Osos in doing that comparison, so I will be sending it to your office. Thank you.
I don't mean to jump around subjects here, but this has to do with what we're talking about. Can a committee be formed actually to do the census and to go and do these things instead of hiring somebody to pay a lot of money to do this? I mean, it's just it's a question, because I'm wondering if a committee can be formed and these people will go out, get signatures, get people's verifications of their incomes, how much they actually make from almost every household in this community. I don't know if it excludes Cabrillo States up there or not, I don't know if you guys can answer that question, but that's a curious question. If we can form some so that people can go out and do it. And
are you volunteering?
Would I? Actually, I would volunteer, yeah. Okay. I'd volunteer to do that. And if I can get other people to do the same thing, you know, you just got to keep records, right?
Let's just hold the thought. I mean, even if we do an RFP and we get there's a possibility for some volunteer labor to help keep the cost down. Something that could be worked out. Keep your thought and maybe look into it.
I'll look into it.
Yes. We'll talk to you later about that a little bit more, about there's certain guidelines and stuff. But there's plenty of things that volunteers can do to help this community, and we need to organize them as soon as possible. And I'm happy that you want to volunteer. It's wonderful.
If a committee could be formed and those guidelines could be met, I mean, you still could end up saving more money instead of hiring somebody that's going to go out and get these people for you, and then everybody's taking a cut out of the community's money to form this whole entire thing.
Okay.
I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I'm
stating.
I'm just...
Okay. Ms. McPherson, do you have a quick thought?
I
I just have a quick suggestion on that, is that getting the word out to the community, there's some concern that people would be reluctant to fill out a form and to return it and put their name on it and check the box of where they're at. And so having a committee get together to outreach to actually go out and educate the community and tell them that this is coming and kind of give them that information would be really valuable. We had an awful lot of people doing door hangers and going door to door and talking during the recall. I'm sure we could do something like that, and that would really assist in getting a good response. That's the hardest part of this whole thing, is getting a good response. So.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak? Mr. Perlman?
Yes, I'm on the program Prohibition Zone. Sam Clemens said, lies, damn lies, and statistics. So if Mr. Buell is on our side now, hopefully we'll get the statistics. The very truth, trust the truth, is that people in this town cannot afford a sewer. And you guys earlier spoke, the alternative sewer, the one that was actually got started out there, of course it wasn't. You're going to use numbers. I don't believe those numbers are valid. The reason I voted against it wasn't because it was ridiculously expensive at 160 whatever. It was because I really didn't believe it would come in at that price. I really believed that the sewer that got started out there was going to come in at a much higher price, and that eventually money would have to come, additional money would need to be requested. So that's back to old history. But I'll also remind myself and other people that it is 10 o'clock and you guys have a commitment to make. Mr. Margetson is up next. He's always interesting to listen to. Thank you.
Wow.
I didn't have anything to say. No. There's a figure in here, 113,100, not to exceed. Is that for this expenditure? I need an answer to that before I go on with page 10.
This was written before the bids were opened, and I apologize, it hasn't been updated. That'll get corrected.
But it could be that much. Could be more. Okay.
What page is that? I don't see it on page
10.
No, I don't.
Page 10 of the actual. Turn the timer off because I got another question. Of the consultant agreement. Page 10 of the consultant agreement, number 20, under item 21. Anyway, my concern is if we're spending this amount of money to go after CDBG grant, $200,000, other grants, I'm actually disappointed in the scope of this. And the reason I am is in the introduction page, the summary, it says draft scope of work for an affordability economic impact study. And I think that's what gives you the teeth when you go to try to get this money from other agencies, the economic impact. I think it'd be very interesting to see what the analysis is going to be on, say this project went forward, of $12 million completely leaving this community on an annual basis for the first 20 years, and that's a rough figure. None of it's coming back. It's going to repay the loan. It's going to repay the bond. There's none of that coming back. And the impact on the business community and the impact on households that are going to put off repairs, deferred maintenance, you know, somebody puts off a roof for another 2 years, that affects the roofer in town, which then affects his income, which then affects whether he can shop, you know, go get donuts at Carlox twice a week or once a month. I think that's what gives you the teeth here. And this, I'm hoping that if we're putting all this money into it, there's going to be more questions asked than is on this page. Please tell me that. the property address and the income level. That's it. I personally think that makes the document weak. A quality economic impact, affordability economic impact study should be that thick. And that gives you power when you go to these agencies, because there are a lot of problems in this community in the economic impact area. And I think that gives you the teeth to get funding, even in California, even with the housing crisis we have. Thank you.
Mr. Dan, please.
We've just looked at page 10 in the board package on this item. And when we look at paragraph D, I think the reference was made to a statement that says, in the event of termination without cause, consultant shall be entitled to payment of an amount not to exceed the not to exceed amount of, and then it gives a figure of 100. That shouldn't be there. There should be a standard boilerplate document. That's an error.
That's correct.
That's an error on staff. I don't know that one, and I got to look at the budget to see what we set aside for it.
That is a question. Do you know, Mr. Buell, do we set aside any amount of money in a budget for this?
There is no money in the budget for this.
Do I have any other board questions or comments at this time? Any other questions? It's so important to get it going. It's so important to get some feedback on this. It's not perfect. Can you send the scope out, and can we adjust it after it comes back, or does it have to be exactly what you want?
This is a personal services contract, and you can negotiate with the consultant to adapt the services and the compensation.
I'd like to have a motion at this time to get this affordability RFP out the door. And just with phasing, using the phased approach, and amending and negotiating.
Edits, and the edits to correct the names and the times.
Yes, to correct the meetings, times, and contact persons. That's my motion. I made it. Any have a second?
I'll second it.
Can I have a vote, please? Would you like it read again? Would the audience like it read again? Okay. Can we have a vote, please?
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Cicena.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Thank you. I'd like to, we have our closed session scheduled for 10 o'clock, and I'd like to stay with the schedule, and I'd like to table all the additional items too. We're planning a meeting for next Tuesday, October 11th.
If I can interject, Madam President, we have some items on the consent calendar that are extremely important. Let's go through those real quick.
Could you? Yes.
I can't see it from here. I'm sorry, we're sharing an agenda here tonight. Normally, your financial statements and investment report, it's already been a couple of months since those have been approved. The same thing with our minutes. The joint meeting with LOCAC is later this month. It would be nice to be able to ratify that so that a joint agenda could be produced for that meeting. The FEMA assistance to firefighters grant, that's basically, you know, allowing the fire department, I believe, to fill out the paperwork so that we can get that FEMA grant, I believe. Mr. Buell, is that correct?
That's correct. The grant has been awarded. What the feds need is concurrence from your district that you're willing to accept it.
So that's just saying, yeah, we want the money. And then the purchase of the heart monitors, I'm thinking that might be something we really want to do. As soon as possible. And then the CDBG grant application, we want to get that in the works during the time that they allow us to submit that grant application.
Item 14 has been pulled.
And I think that's it. Is that it? Oh, okay. The time and motion study, President Schicker, I know you wanted us to have that, and we're already actually keeping our track of that. So it'd be great to ratify that so that we'll be doing it. Our insurance coverage binder, that was already, you know, basically we had to renew as of July 1st, and it just a ratification of our coverage. And then I know that you and Director Tacker had wanted to attend something in November. I don't know if you still want to do it, but now would be the time for you to do that, I think.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty straightforward. Could we have public comment on the consent agenda? Seems like everything except item 14 is going to be considered.
Item 14 would be pulled. We had a request from the other party to pull that.
Okay. Seeing nobody from the public who wants to speak. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Got to step up. Step up.
I'm going to speak on this item 15, the direct to staff to perform time and motion study. I think the staff is going through work overload as it is already. I see no reason to whip a dead horse and make them even do more stuff. I think it's terrible. Thank you.
I guess I will comment on that as well as I don't know how much more burdensome it is. Certainly the hierarchy is probably more overwhelmed than others as far as the water workers and all that and fire department. I don't know how much of a strain it is to continue that. I think it's important information to get. I'd like to see you guys at least reevaluate, if you don't pull it, at least you're going to probably ratify it unless you don't need to pull it, is take a look at your insurance and what you're paying for the insurance and maybe explore other options and in ways to ensure the CSD than just pulling a policy that you have now. I mean, you could increase your self-insured retention if the CSD chose to do that, and that would lower your premiums. I mean, there's ways to save money in insurance. There's ways to join JPAs for that matter. So it's just something to consider than just $32,000 a year is a lot of money for insurance. And the coverage is pretty weak, too. It's like $1 million per occurrence. And you just wipe out somebody just one time, that's $1 million. So I think you're a little underinsured and paying a little too high.
Madam President, we have the $10 million umbrella, and we did a cost comparison. This coverage is substantially cheaper than any other coverage we'd have been able to find.
I'd like to comment on item 19. I think that's the spring nitrate groundwater report.
On the regular, Mr.
Say Barrow? Again?
It's not in this item. We're only doing consent agenda, and that's not on it.
That's not on it.
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I think you can shine on 15.
Pardon me?
I think you can shine on number 15.
Shine on 15. Mm-hmm. Any director comments at this time? Any other public comments? I'm sorry.
I would concur with 15 only because it seems like that would be part of a staffing, you know, looking at that bigger staffing plan, that time and motion. It seems like there's going to be a management study that should incorporate that. And if that's going to be part of that, then why not incorporate it? Let it go for this time. But just
okay. I've conferred with staff just yesterday. They're ready to go on this. It's not really a time waster for them. It's from the staff that I've talked to, they're ready to go. And we could use the information from my aspect. But anybody else from the board? Could I have a motion, please?
I move we accept the consent calendar.
Minus 14.
Minus item 14.
Item 14.
Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Mrs. Vega.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Cicina.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fischer.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. We didn't do too bad tonight for our goals. And we're going to adjourn to closed session. You're welcome to hang around. We think we'll probably spend about an hour.
Excuse me, President Schicker.
What do I do now?
There's an item I would like to add to the closed session agenda.
It was a it's a lawsuit titled Taxpayers Watch and Unincorporated Association, Gordon Hensley, an individual, Stuart Dinker, an individual, plaintiffs and petitioners versus Los Osos Community Services District, Steve Sennett, John Fouché, Chuck Cena, and Does 1 through 50. In order to add this to the agenda, I will need a 4/5 determination from the board on two elements. The first element, and these are found under Government Code Section 54954.2B sub 2. The first element is there exists a need to take immediate action. The second element of the determination is the need for action came to the attention of the CSD after the agenda was posted. The facts supporting the first determination is that this was brought as a temporary restraining order, and we're in court tomorrow morning attempt to defeat it. With regard to the second fact supporting the determination, I think, as you well know, this thing came in after hours on Monday, and I believe most of us got it, if at all, that night, extremely late. I believe for myself it was after 9:30. So with that, I would just entertain a vote on that for the determination. Like I say, it requires a 4/5 vote.
Okay, so we just need a ratification?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Could I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Mrs. Vega? Okay, just a ratification vote, or do we need a roll call or just an aye vote?
We'll call for you, and I'm sorry I didn't get the motion in second. I was busy.
It was Director Tacker and Director Cena.
Thank you. Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
Director Cena?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes. Okay, so we're going to adjourn to closed session. Oh, we need to have public comment on closed session. Isn't that correct?
Indio and Los Osos. Is this on? Anyway, I wanted to address the lawsuit. Is it true what I read online last night, night before last, was that it was written by Bruce Buell and Gordon Hensley? That is in the documentation, and I think it's the flimsiest bunch of lies I have ever seen put together. I think it's shameful, and I think it should be dropped immediately.
Madam President, I had absolutely nothing to do with this. I have not even seen it until District Council had it on his table.
Online, you better look
Lindy,
at it because
Lindy,
your name is signed
Lindy,
to it.
Over here. Sorry. Okay.
Madam President, may I comment on that?
Yes, please. Hold on.
The lawsuit was filed by Kate Neuswinder, I believe is how she pronounces it. I could be wrong on that, out of Ventura, California. She's an attorney that's well-known in the environmental community. What she did do was attach a public document, which was a declaration from an earlier litigation matter that had been filed by Mr. Buell. And that was not his writing whatsoever. In other words, she must have gone into some court files and found this document and attached it to her pleading. So that's right.
Okay. Okay. Next public comment, please.
Keith Swanson. It sounded like the Gordon's attorney wasn't very prepared for this. Based on what I've read from the complaint, it sounds like it was a lot of his information given to her to fill in the blanks and same old story over and over again. I also had a question regarding the actual service and if there was an issue that has to be addressed tomorrow as well regarding that. Was the judge make some requirement for that?
Are we allowed to answer that question in open session?
Yes. Given the lateness of the notice, I believe I got it a little before 10 p.m. on Monday night. I was able, fortunately, to contact Mr. Seitz, Attorney Seitz, literally about 45 minutes before the court hearing. He threw on a suit, drove 20 miles, and got down there in time to cover the hearing. The irony for myself is I was not served the normal process, despite the fact that in the pleadings themselves, they identify me as the interim district counsel.
Mr. Dugan.
Sir. Mm-hmm. I'm just blowing hot air here, but when the project started being built before the elections or before the recall was going through, I had called the governor, state governor, and I had talked to somebody in the state governor's office. In the conversation that I had with him, and I had told him about the fact that we had a recall election that was going because nobody really wanted this sewer to be built in the middle of this town, and there was money problems, and it's like spending $80 million for a $10 million sewer and everything. I forgot the name of the filing of the paper, but the guy from the governor's office literally straight up told me that it sounds like a lawsuit file needs to be filed against the CSD that was previous. The previous CDSD. So, I mean, I'm sure that we could all throw paper back and forth here and try to bring legalities into it all, but, you know, I mean, and I know for a fact it can be done because what was going on out there was conveyed to me as slightly illegal. Maybe some loopholes to get through, but, you know. So I think this is just slinging mud, and I almost wish we would stop it, but, you know, how far do you think this is really going to go? I mean, you got the reports. You know, what are you behind? And Bruce over here, you know, I have a feeling you're not for the CSD.
Mr. Dugan, you're supposed to direct your comments to the board.
I'm very sorry.
It's okay. Yeah,
thank you.
That's all right. Thank you for speaking. Next person, please.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller, and I'd just like to ask someone if it's true in the email that I got about the issue of this request for a restraining order. It stated that the attorney for the plaintiffs, Kate someone, had not read the contract. She was not aware. It was brought to her attention that there's a clause in the contract about a 90-day back-off period or rest period that you're allowed to take. And in the email that I got, it stated that she admitted she had not read the contract, wasn't aware of that. The judge, I guess, brought it to her attention. And the other thing that's been related to my husband and I is that there seems to be some collusion between the attorney Seitz and the judge Hilton, and that there seems to be a long-term relationship between the two of them. And it seems very strange that this judge is always ruling against our side. And I wonder if anybody has any information and could bring that forward. Please don't be so naive as to think things like that don't go on.
I would just like to add that I was in the courtroom, and Ms. Miller is correct. The attorney did say that she had not read the contract, the suspension clause.
Bo Cooper, what Lisa just said is absolutely true. The lady had no idea about the 15.1 section clause. Because you're going into the closed session, and there is some ambiguity about Bruce's possible role in the suit, and plus Bruce's past association, I would feel more comfortable if Bruce was not included in that particular item in closed session. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak on the closed session items?
Lauren Perlman, real quick. I would like to remind staff that the board is showing a quick learning curve, but particularly experienced staff, even if something sounds like it's personally directed at you, that you can assist in the process by not answering a speaker directly. And other than that, it's amazing that Gordon is still trying to bankrupt the board, whether within or without. Are we mentioning names today? Okay, well, anyway. Respectfully of your time, and I hope we're done.
We've done it 100 times today.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, quickly. Got to go to the mic. Got to go to the mic. We're getting sloppy.
Mr. McClendon mentioned that there were two elements, and I wasn't clear if you guys voted to enter both of them.
Can we do it at the same time? Yes. We ratified both. Next speaker, please.
I would just like to point out that you guys are just getting a taste of your own medicine. This is only the first lawsuit you're going to get against you. You're probably going to get many more. So just relax and enjoy it.
Next speaker, please.
A couple other things that I didn't get in my first 6 minutes during public comment on the lawsuit. Attached as part of the pleadings was a set of the frequently asked questions from the website. Just make sure that new legal counsel is aware of some of these things. They're trying, and here's a question that they're trying to argue that we're going to lose money. How is the project being financed? The Los Osos CSD is also aggressively pursuing federal and or state grant funds to further reduce the financial burden to the community, such as $35 million that Congressman Lois Capps has sponsored and spending legislation that has already passed the House and is currently before the Senate. Well, with what's happening in New Orleans, I think it'd be amazing if we get that. But here's the part that's very interesting, as well as another $20 million in Prop 50 monies. At the supervisors' meeting, I think it was the supervisors' meeting, staff, when a list of Prop 50 monies that was the county was going after was listed, he ended his comment with Prop 50 monies. Usually, there's so many requests, those that are granted amount to 10% of the request. So our chances of getting the 20 look greatly diminished. One more comment. You should look through this. There's a lot of discrepancies. Here's one that really bothers me. I never saw this on the website before, or I missed it. What will it cost me? Cost will be determined by the type of property, single-family home, mobile home, apartment, or condominium, commercial property, or undeveloped property, and whether or not you live in a mobile home park. Now, here's the operative words. Single-family residents will pay approximately $200 to begin and $180 at full build-out. Because they already have a collection system, sewer lines in place, residents in Vista Darrow, Bay Ridge Estates, and Monarch Grove will pay approximately $127 per month. Now, here's the part that bothers me. Mobile home dwellers. Dwellers will pay about $54 a month. When's the last time somebody was referred to as a dweller? I think it was the caveman days.
Thank you.
Al Barrow, Los Osos. The present board and their supporters and the people that have come before them have been accused by the recall board of filing a number of frivolous lawsuits. I guess frivolity is a sort of a personal decision as to what you think is frivolous and what isn't. But the courts require certain documentation for accusations, and it's my understanding, John, if I may, that the documentations for the accusations in the complaint were not forthcoming at the first filing, and the judge has given them an opportunity to bring some more forth Friday, tomorrow morning.
Could you direct the questions towards the board and then I'll...
Say it again?
Direct your questions this way. And then I'll direct them towards that way. You've been here before.
Director Seitz is, excuse me, by the way, you mentioned John Seitz.
Yes.
John, has he spent some work and time on defending the district as well as John McClendon?
Mr. McClendon, can you answer these questions in open session or is it?
Yes. Again, he was invaluable for being literally able in a matter of minutes to. And without the benefit of even having seen the lawsuit that had been filed in the TRO to get down to court and stop the court from granting right there on the spot a temporary restraining order, so he did the district yeoman service and I would commend him for that. Since that time, I have. Consulted with him and have found his insights and assistance very, very valuable.
It's my understanding from other counsel, this competent counsel, that this is not a well-documented, valid lawsuit and it doesn't have merit, and the judge might have difficulty ruling in their favor. That's just what my understanding has been. I would like everyone who can come that's watching this to come tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock to the Veterans Hall on Palm Street in Monterey. Quietly show your support.
Thank you, Mr. Merrow. Ms. Jensen. Oh, Mr. Dugan and then Ms. Jensen.
Sorry.
Could I ask a favor? Who's ever smoking? I have the flu tonight, and I'm just about to pass out, and that is about to make it's pretty bad.
Step away from the door.
Please, if you wouldn't mind.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I saw what happened at the courthouse. Mr. Seitz walked in. Oops. That was a quick 3 minutes.
Yes, it was. No.
I think they've been doing that to me all along. John walked in there. Practically in his slipper and robes, his hair was undone. And it was a slam dunk. Why? Because the people bringing the lawsuit were arguing the same point that basically this group, and I can't say specifically, were arguing those same points when they lost theirs. He knew that. He knew he could just show up and look at that judge and say, well, let's just reverse roles here. If you basically allow this lawsuit, you'll be going against previous stuff that you had ruled on. I know that's the looks that the judge was giving John was like, what are we doing here? So depending on what happens tomorrow, but I believe it's going to be basically a slam dunk. Thank you.
Good evening, board. And Lisa and Madam President. That's what I have to say. Madam President, Lisa Schicker. You're talking about lawsuits, old lawsuits, and I would just like to know how the old CSD board and Mr. Sykes went about suing.
Thank you. Mr. Dugan, and then yes. Ms. Neller after that.
I'm the last speaker?
Oh, I think you already spoke on this item.
Okay, but I'm the last person that's going to say anything?
No. No, you've already
okay,
spoken.
Sylvia can come up then, because I just will. Okay. I was just going to make a light note of it and some sarcasm, so
okay.
It's all good.
Well, let's be fair. Let's be fair to everybody. Ms. Neller, we're trying to keep it, everybody gets one chance to speak.
Hi. The last I knew, the Vets Hall is on Grand Avenue and not Palm. Yes. Okay.
I'd like to close public comment unless I see anyone else who wants to speak. And we'll adjourn to closed session, and it'll be about an hour.
Madam President,
I'm sorry.
We need to set the date next for the next meeting.
The next meeting is proposed for Tuesday, August 11th at 7:30 p.m., and it's October 11th, and it's at 7:30 p.m., and it's a special meeting, and it's in this community center. And do you want to set all the other meetings now?
I think maybe we could do that next week, but okay. I know it's late, but I just wanted to... to verify that on that agenda, we're likely to do the items that we did not get to tonight. Is that your wish? Because we're going to need to put an agenda together pretty soon.
We'll review it tomorrow.
I won't be here tomorrow.
I'm not prepared to do it tonight. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, all right. You can talk to Dan then.
Yeah, I'll work with Dan, and I'll develop an agenda before the weekend. Thank you, everybody. We're adjourned, and see you in an hour if you're willing to hang around. And if not, we'll see you next Tuesday.
We can send out a copy and then we just cut the agenda only. Yeah, I do. You can chop that.
It's not on either way. I'm here. We've just returned from closed session, and I'm here to report out of closed session. Mr. McClendon, would you please report?
Madam President, we have no reportable action.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.